contrary to popular belief, I don't lie about my age. Oh, I'm actually only 30.
Oh, we looked hard. Come on the scene.
Wait, I think that was probably a big thing you guys were mean about. Why is everybody always picking on me? My 15-year-old cousin has less acne. Why is everybody always picking on me? Did you brush them teeth since 1983? Why is everybody always picking on me? Because you've got the grooming habits of a chimpanzee. Why is everybody always picking on me? Your wife has got a nose like Bill Cosby. Why is everybody always picking on me? Always picking, ripping apart, bulging. I'm a Leah, get the shots like the cops. Yeah, I don't hear. But what were you saying? Oh, I'm here with Billy Wayne Davis. What were you just saying? You don't have to say about who, but just what were you saying?
I've noticed that as some of my friends get more famous, they post more pictures of themselves.
They do get into selfies a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of selfies.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know if they get more likes from just fans.
Oh. So they put it out there for likes?
Well, they just notice. When I just put a picture of my... this is me hoping this is what okay. It is.
Yeah.
That it's like a numbers game. Where they're just like, oh, I get more likes when I just put a picture of me up than when I just put a picture of, like, this weird alley I saw.
You know who puts a lot of pictures of themselves up?
Who's that?
Jeff Dye.
Yeah, Jeff Dye. But he's way better looking than all of us.
Yeah, he's so good looking.
I think that's why we see that. We're just like, stop it, Jeff. Yeah.
But I bet he does. You know how when you put off a post somewhere and you just wait and the feeling you get, we're like, oh, cool, 10 likes or retweets or whatever it is. Yeah, those guys can do it just by putting pictures of themselves up.
Yeah. And they probably get more than when they're putting a picture of, like, their grandma or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something, some funny sign they make.
They're like, get in there with your grandma. Yeah. Can't touch my muff to this.
Yeah. They want to see that face.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir.
That wasn't too skeptical.
No.
That was more an observation.
Yeah, it's an observation tank. And I'm here with my friend Billy Wayne Davis, who's never been on the show before.
Never.
We recorded a podcast. A couple times, to dump it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Have you done an intro with me before?
Never an intro. No. We did a whole episode in a Silver Lake hotel one time.
It happens, in a fucking gangland hotel room.
It's very
like,
safe.
What neighborhood do you live in?
It was close to where I was doing a show, so I was like, this is fine. And then I got there, and you do hear gunshots in that part of town. I heard a couple. I was like, those are fire. No, that's a
gunshot. You're like, oh, maybe firecrackers in early June. That seems weird.
Oh, it's sunny. The weather's great here, but there's terrible neighborhoods. This is not just from rap music.
Speaking of terrible neighborhoods, my guest today, Whitney Cummings, we're going to talk about all her troubles at the Comedy Store fitting in. I didn't know she had it so hard, but she...
Is she complaining?
Not complaining, but she was like, you guys are all so mean to me. I was just going to talk to her about her drive and how she gets work done and shit. That's what I went into it with. That I was going to talk to her. Like, what do? Do you write scripts all day? Do you fucking...
But do you think that's why you guys were meaner to her? Because she was harder to break?
No.
She just kept going?
I think it was... I don't know. No. They were mean to her right away. She got there when I wasn't there. She got there when that year after Mencia came, after that whole thing happened.
Oh, when you weren't allowed there.
I was allowed.
You were around.
I wasn't at the store. I was allowed. I only wasn't allowed when I punched Bobby Lee the third time.
I could see that.
Then I wasn't allowed until I talked to him.
What did y'all talk about?
Here's my talk. Okay, fine, go. What do you want to say? What do you want to say? I was sitting up three steps on the back to the belly room. Wouldn't even look at him, just looking above him. He goes, I just want to say that I don't want any fight with you. I didn't do anything. I think it's misunderstood. I'm like, okay, fine. Are we done? And he goes, well, I just want you to... And then he just, whatever he said, I just like negated and just... And then I was like, fine. Are we good now? Like all angry. And he's like, no, that wasn't satisfying at all. This is not the talk. Just me just talking at you.
And you were sitting above him.
Way above him, refusing to even look in his face. God, I was angry.
So even as someone taller than him, well, everyone's taller than him.
Yeah.
So they've all got that power. You chose to get more power by sitting.
And above. I was sitting down and above. So I was taking the relaxed, but also above you position.
Do you guys still have beef?
No.
Really?
I want him to do, we're going to do another round of those storyteller shows online.
Oh, yeah.
For Comedy Central
Digital. Can he show his dick online?
Of course he can. No, he can't. I'd have to blur it. But I want him to tell that story with me. I want him to go up with me and tell the story of all that.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And he will get naked.
I texted him. He didn't text me back. And he might get naked, yeah.
Do you think he's mad?
I think everyone should text Bobby Lee or tweet at him or Instagram
him. You guys should do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then Brenda Zisi might do the show, too, so he's already going to be there. So he was, like, an observer of one of them.
So he can just come on.
So he can come in and show his part.
Like, hey, no, both of you are wrong.
Yeah.
You're both full of like shit this. On this. This yes. is what I, you were acting like this, and you said this.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, now that I'm saying it with you, I'm thinking what a better idea it is, even than I thought before.
Yeah, because he can do the third person where it's like, no, both of you are full of shit.
Yeah. Wait, how was I introducing Whitney? Oh, yeah, because she was... How did we get to this Bobby Lee stuff from introducing Whitney? Because
she had a hard time at the store, and then you weren't allowed there.
Oh, right. Okay, it wasn't when I wasn't allowed. It was when I was choosing not to be there.
Yeah.
I was just grossed out by it a little bit.
Yeah, you should have been.
Yeah, I should have been. For the record, that was all just Pauly. That wasn't the Comedy Store. That was just Pauly.
Did you read that thing on Vice about him?
About Pauly? Yeah. I know that guy. Many wheeze.
It sounds like he just...
He's not the greatest employer.
Well, it sounds like the kid didn't really know what he's walking into either.
No.
And he should have been like, fuck this.
We all dealt with him. It would be hilarious watching him come from downstairs. He would go all the way upstairs. That's one flight to where the phone room used to be, and then another whole flight up. I mean, you're tired after walking those things. And they're double steps, too. And then he would go to the top and go, hey, can you get me a Coke? From downstairs. It's like he just walked right by the fountain. He could have just poured himself a Coke. It's daytime. Nobody's there. That's what the guy's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Can you go get me a Coke? Just do it yourself, man.
Well, just tell him that. The kid never told him that.
That's mine. That's not yours. Everybody is listening. Stop checking your shit.
You know, that 40 does
people
happen.
Just check their phones.
That happened on live television the other night. I was watching something. And the
really?
Dude's phone kept doing that.
Tig did a funny thing on it.
I checked it like 3 times. I was like, oh, that's from... Because you don't see that. People on television having that on a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's why I get so irate, too, at clubs.
Because you hear it all the time?
Well, no. Not all the time, but at least once a week,
a phone goes off. Oh, a phone will go off in the showroom. Yeah.
That just drives me...
I'm seeing, like, more and more people doing it in movies now, texting on silent. They got a section of art, like, you can sit in the back.
I went with Alberstadt to a movie, and he...
He did it?
He was live-tweeting the movie. And then he falls asleep because the movie was boring, which it was.
Well, he didn't get into it. What movie was it?
It was Elysium.
Oh, really? It was boring?
It just gets convoluted at the end.
Give away the ending real quick. Spoiler alert.
I mean, everyone lives.
All right.
It's not a big...
Maybe
he was live tweeting the whole... Like, that's, it was distracting.
That's ridiculous. I told Tripoli, he came into Jackass 3 with me. I was like, listen, you fucking... Because he's addicted to his phone. I'm like, don't do that. Don't take out your texting thing. We're trying to watch a movie. And to his credit, he had to text and tweet, but he left and went to the end of the aisle.
And I'll check it once a movie.
What are you talking about? Never.
Never.
No time's a movie.
Never.
Are you kidding me?
What if you're...
You just cut the line at exactly what you do and no worse.
Yeah.
No checking at the movie. Your
at
one
all.
Time disrupts anybody. Put
That's
it
true.
Off. Don't even leave it on vibrate in your pocket.
And you're
Don't
right.
Don't disturb yourself.
You're right. Because, yeah.
It took 3 months to make it.
Because nothing we are doing is important.
You cannot get back to somebody in an hour and a half. And if you really have to,
you're
why
right.
are you watching a movie?
You're
Take
right.
care of some shit.
You're right.
It's your chance to turn it off.
You're
it's
right.
unacceptable in every way.
And I get so mad when people do it at my shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
somebody mentioned that a bunch of comics do it at the stand, and I was like, oh, yeah, I do that. And they're like, yeah, it seems rude. I mean, other comics can see. And I was like, yeah, it is rude.
I'll check in my phone.
Yeah,
in the back
all
of the
comics
room.
Do it. As you're kind of half casually listening, you're all sitting in the back, and they all see all their faces lit up. And I was like, yeah, it's.
I never
do that anymore.
Noticed on stage, but I do that in the back of the room. Yeah, that's.
I do that. Hey, quick tip, triple tap your iPhone, turns black. Turns the screen negative. Try it right now. You don't believe me, right?
No.
Okay. Go to like text or something. Open up a text.
Okay.
Triple tap the home screen right now. No. Get it back again.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it doesn't work with your shitty version of the iPhone.
What are you talking about?
Oh, because you have a shitty version. Oh.
Do you have the 5?
Maybe.
This is
something.
4S.
I know I got something better than you.
Do you?
Oh, it turns black. so it doesn't shine. Oh, fuck.
Is that some app?
Oh, I wish I could take a picture of your face. It's the face of disappointment.
I wish I wasn't this disappointed.
It's the face of disappointment.
That is sad.
Oh, and now it doesn't shine in my face when I'm in the back.
Is that an app you got?
It's not an app. It's just what the one better than yours does.
Is that you have the little one? Yeah, you the have little a 5. Charger. I have a 4S.
Yeah, wow. Well,
fuck. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. Can't turn it black.
God damn it.
By the way, most of the time, it just bothers me because I do it by accident.
Oh.
And so I'm like, well, no, get off this.
Well, that's how I've learned about most things on an iPhone.
By accident?
Like,
caps lock?
Yeah. That one took me forever.
Double tap?
That one pissed me off.
I told a lot of people about that. Felt like an explorer. Let me introduce my episode.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. So Whitney said during that time she got there, and afterwards I got back, she felt like everyone was really mean to her. And so I went sort of from... I should have talked more about it, but... and I should have talked more about her... Adults with parents, alcoholic parents, ACA, no. Adult children of alcoholics, yeah. But I didn't.
What, it's like recovering alcoholics? Or
no, it's like their parents are alcoholics. They grew up as a kid in an alcoholic home. I didn't get into her enough. Bad interviewer. Once in a while.
Yeah.
But so we talked about the store and we talked about other stuff.
She not drink?
I don't think I've ever seen her drink. I feel like we talked about it on this podcast. I think she drinks like once every like couple months.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't.
She have any vices?
It was like a month ago. Work, man. That's her vice. She's nonstop work. She would show up at the store, do her spot, go right back to writing at home.
That's smart.
She would be there for 10 minutes. When Neil Brennan came to LA, like 15 minutes. Because they're both winners.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you make 5 minutes with a winner?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she reminded me of some stuff. I don't remember being mean to her, although I remember once when she went right to the middle of the lineups. That was a thing. Well, we'll talk about it on the episode.
Yeah, you guys tune in.
Yeah, I'll talk about it on the outro with you. Maybe we'll walk around the city and do the outro.
Okay.
But Billy Wayne Davis, first. What's your name on Twitter?
Billy Wayne Davis.
Perfect. Where are you going to be next 2 weeks? It's airing. This comes out tomorrow.
Oh, it comes out. I'll be in Montana, Missoula, Montana.
Wow. Wow.
This weekend. This coming weekend.
Okay. At what's it called?
Fuck. I don't know.
How many comedy clubs could there be in Missoula, Montana?
Just type comedy in Missoula. Google comedy if you live in Missoula. And it'll
from a comic about doing comedy in Minnesota, Montana.
Yeah. I've never been.
And he said he had sex with 4 different women in 4 days.
I mean, I've been to Alaska. It's possible.
You did that in Alaska?
Several.
The most I got in Alaska ever was went over to a girl's house, cuddled all night. She wouldn't do anything. Told all my friends I got laid.
I fucked a girl who was... She was a fucking man.
Yeah.
She was a gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
But, like, she rode a Harley. She had a big truck. And we fucked. And then we got done fucking. And she goes, I still think you're gay. And I was like, all right. I mean, I really don't know what else to do to prove that to you. But
that's always the go-to line on stage. You're like, I'll fuck you right now.
Yeah.
You know?
She was like, I still think you're gay.
You did it.
I was like, all right. And she took me to the airport.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else you could do.
Nothing.
To prove to her.
Nothing. And it wasn't like I was...
You a dude, but show that you're not into it.
Yeah, I would have like a dude blow me and it just stayed limp.
To see like the... Like, legit.
I'm really not into this. I liked fucking you with your vagina. So I guess you've been fucking grizzly bears. So sorry.
By the way, everybody, all my storyteller shows are online now. So, we did one here in New York at the Village Underground. It was great.
Really?
It was all fight stories. Colin Quinn did it. Bobby Kelly. Colin Quinn told a story about getting fight his first time on acid. I got beat up by bouncers his first time on acid.
God.
Yeah. It was so funny. And then Keith Robinson told some story. And then Robert Kelly went up right after him. And then Robert Kelly's like, because in the back, he was like, he's forgetting the part. He didn't say he shit his pants. And then he went right up and goes, you forgot the part, Keith, about how you shit your pants. And he was like, oh, I forgot that. He goes, you didn't forget. You were embarrassed. It was fun.
Like, he couldn't control it.
Yeah.
Bobby Kelly couldn't. He was no.
He needed everyone to know. No, I know that story, and he's leaving out parts.
He just gets so emotional. He's like, I have to go say something. Yeah. That's fantastic.
He was going on anyway, though, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those are fun.
Those are fun stories when, like, multiple people are involved.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, nah, no.
Yeah.
No. What about no?
Metzger and Big J did one of those where Metzger told his story about getting into a fight on stage at the Comedy Cellar. And then for some of it, he goes, and now this part, I have trouble remembering because I was, like, really zoned in. But Jay was there. So Jay, what happened? He goes, okay, you sounded like a grown retard, like a grown-up one. And what was it? It was just like filling him in. It was great. I loved it. I love when they do that shit together.
Yeah.
Maren did that once early on with us. Like, Jonah Ray was telling some story for a Heartbreak One episode. And then, like, Maren just yelled from the back or from the side. It was at the improv lab. That side room that's not there anymore.
Oh.
But he was like, you still love the sex, though. Something like that. And Jonah was like, yeah, Maren, I did.
Yeah, of course I did.
I like those.
So they got rid of that improv lab?
Yeah, it's just a bar now. And the front's turning into something. And they haven't turned it into anything yet. I don't know.
Al Madrigal said it looks like the Melrose Improv looks like
what?
Like a VIP suite at an MGM Grand.
Yeah, it does. It's lost a lot of its soul. It lost a lot of its soul. But
come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Are we the old dudes now?
Like, maybe. I mean, they got those nice couches in the back, but it's like couches aren't made for comedy. You don't want couches. And like, I've heard of that before, and I've always gone like, no, don't put nice couches
in. I've never seen that work.
You want straight up seats.
No, you don't want people, because then they get real judgy when they're comfortable because they think they're at their house.
Comedy Works. Fucking bolted in desk chairs. One of the best rooms you'll ever play.
Why? I don't know why they don't ever
just mimic that.
Just copy do that. It. Copy it.
Exactly. They did when they built a place uptown.
Yes. Yeah, the one at the south one. That one's, it's bigger, it's a different room, but it's still amazing.
Yeah, it is. I forgot what I'm doing right now. We're doing an intro. It's okay, we're at 16 minutes. I gotta say my dates. So here they are. Wisconsin. What?
I'm just listening.
Oh, you look like you were going to say something. Like you saw something on the screen.
I think I did and then forgot. But then I started listening.
All right. I'm doing Appleton for one show. What was it?
I kept that face. No. I know what I keep seeing and it's terrible.
Who is it? Her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's Justy Dodge with all her cuts. She did my podcast and talked about all that stuff. Yeah, she's cut up.
Yeah.
Those arms look like.
Funny, too.
I've really seen her on stage.
She's funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, if she wasn't funny, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Can't. Come here.
She was nominated for Best Female Comedian for the Creaky Awards.
Oh.
I don't know who won. Might have been Amber Nelson. Anyway, I'll be at that place, Appleton, in Skyline, in Appleton, Wisconsin. Yeah. You played there?
No. Never played Wisconsin.
September 11th, anniversary! The anniversary of the greatest insurance scam ever pulled by my people, the Jews.
9/11.
When we planned and carried out two attacks on separate towers and then decoyed it with the Pentagon, got all the insurance money. It's a great win for Jews everywhere.
You guys did. That was a...
It'll be on the anniversary. And I'll be playing Skyline at Appleton. And then I'm doing the rest of the weekend in Madison at Comedy on State. 12th, 13th, 14th. What?
No, I'm just proud of you guys.
Oh, thanks.
My girlfriend's Jewish.
We all got a piece of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's right. Your girlfriend's Jewish.
Yeah, so.
How is that?
It's fantastic.
I mean, is it different in any way?
No.
Have you ever dated a Jew before?
I think so, yeah.
How for how long?
Not very long.
How long has this been going on?
Almost a year.
Yeah, okay. The Jews would come out if it was going to come out by now.
Yeah, it's great.
She nag at you?
Not more than any woman.
Are you? But with more skill? Is she more adept at it? Does she like cut to your bone?
No, she never cuts to my bone.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe she's not that Jewy. Was she raised like real, like Jewy at all?
No.
Oh, maybe that's why she got out.
Not at all.
Calgary, September 19th, 20th, and 21st at Yuck Yucks. Hurry up. I want to sell out. And then I'm in New York a bunch at the Stand, as always.
So are you cool with him again?
Who?
The Stand.
Bobby Lee? Yeah. Yeah.
Bobby Lee.
So Italian. Oh, I thought you were saying, are we cool with Bobby Lee?
No.
Yeah.
Everyone's cool with him.
And then San Francisco with Cubs, with Joey Diaz, October 10th, 11th, and 12th. Now, and I'm doing that storyteller show October 1st at Cheetah's. So plan your vacations. Still keep at Rogan to get him to do it. He's right on the line. He's right on the line, everybody.
Where's this at?
Cheetah's in Hollywood, October 1st. Fight stories, road stories.
October 1st. Damn it. No.
You're not going to be in L.A.
Mm-mm.
You're saying. Well, here we go, everybody. Let's start the episode.
Nice enjoy Whitney.
What?
Enjoy Whitney.
So what should I call this? I had to think of a name to call this now. I was going to be like...
Bullied Millionaire?
Like, what?
Bullied Millionaire.
Bullied Millionaire?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really about her being rich at all.
But...
I mean, yeah, she is, but it's not really about that in any way.
It's pretty fantastic what she did, though.
It's pretty... Oh, yeah. No, she won, man. Yeah, she's one of us that fucking won.
It's great.
It's great.
Not mad at her at all.
No. She's a comic.
Yeah.
And like, she won.
Fuck yeah.
She caught it. She cashed in.
How'd you do that?
Yeah. That's what I was going to get into. We talked about it a little bit, but it's all like...
You just shut those doors through. And you lock them. You're like, look, you tell me what you did before I let you out of here.
She wasn't enjoying a lot of it. She felt like she was alienating people. Anyway, let's talk about it. But so what? So it's like yeah, being bullied, some sort of weird pun on bully or something, a funny, kitschy name with bully in the Comedy Store.
Two broke bullies?
Bully and the bitch? No. She's not a bitch. Two broke bullies? Oh, yeah, because she writes that. I don't know.
What about Bullied?
Bullied?
Also starring Chris D'Elia.
No, he wasn't part of that. He was accepted immediately at the Comedy Store. I think Whitney brought him in, too. I think Whitney brought him there. He was... Yeah, man. Wait. Fucking... How about the tough nut to crack about the store? Or like... Fuck. I'm going to put this on pause for a second.
Okay.
Can you think of anything?
No.
Fuck.
I don't ever want to.
Okay, I got it. Whatever doesn't kill you. So, thank you, Billy Wayne. And guys, don't forget to use my Amazon link on my website. It's on... okay. I got one more thing to say, but... there's a pull-down menu. You can use my Amazon link on your phones. But otherwise, if you're on the computer, instead of going to Amazon.com, go to AriShafir.com. Or AriTheGreat.com, either one. And then on the right-hand side is just an Amazon banner. It's a small one for Canada and the regular big one for America. And if you click on that, it takes you to Amazon. And then they give me, like, cash back on every purchase and stuff. So if you got school books to buy, do them through my Amazon link. And keep me drugged up. I am almost out of weed. I don't even have a Billy, I'll find you some nug or something.
You're gonna.
But I don't have enough to sell you. That's how down I am, everyone. So keep using the Amazon link. Keep me in weed.
He has so little pot that the Jewish guy can't sell me anything.
and pick up a Skeptic Tank t-shirt online, too, while you're there. And look at all my dates. All right, so here we go. Ari Shafir's Skeptic Tank, episode 130. What did I just say it was? Oh, come on, man. I just said it.
132.
Whatever doesn't kill you? Was that what it was? Whatever doesn't kill you. Whatever doesn't kill you with Whitney Cummings. All right, enjoy.
I don't know what this is about. I don't.
Yeah, just casual. We'll get into something.
Okay.
You want to have a Gotham one night?
Oh, is this just how you start it? Just, yeah. You just go?
I'll do intros later.
You do intros later. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, why am I doing this?
Why are you doing my podcast?
Yes.
Well, because you're here and I... what do you mean?
I have this rule. There's no podcast rule.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'm breaking it.
Why do you have a no podcast rule?
Because I'm the only comic who, ironically, you would think I'm a narcissist. I just don't think I'm that interesting.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
I just don't.
I think a lot of people are interesting. Ken Jeong doesn't do podcasts.
Yeah.
He was like, no offense, I just don't do them.
Yeah, that's what my thing. But also, if you do them, if you do one person's, you have to do everybody's. You
well,
can't.
Let's make a disclaimer, then.
That I'm only doing yours.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't know. I just don't really know if I'm supposed to be funny or supposed to be serious or supposed to just, like...
The way I usually do it is just, mostly it's comics, and we just talk about something interesting, and then funny just comes out naturally a little bit.
Yeah.
The comics talking.
Yeah. But you know. No funny will be coming out in this.
All right.
I just want you to know.
I've also interviewed like Holocaust survivors, so there was like no funny there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, those will be funnier than this one.
It'd be awesome if you survived the Holocaust as well.
I had a blackout period in my 20s, but I don't think that happened.
How long are you here for, by the way?
I'm in New York just for like another couple days. I'm just here. I'm doing a tour, so I just put all the East Coast gigs in one block.
Oh, so you can come here and hang out?
Yeah. I have a man, and he's in New York. So I'm trying to make an effort.
You have a man?
I have a man. He's in New York shooting for a month, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to come and do my gigs here while he's here.
Wow.
Yeah. And why am I doing your podcast? You've been the meanest to me of any comic.
Explain what that means.
You have been the most shitty person to me.
Standoffish or shitty?
No, pretty aggressively shitty.
Really?
I mean, no.
Maybe.
No, it's more like, it's like...
I get lumped in with Taylor a lot.
David Taylor?
Yeah.
No, David Taylor actually is like had a weirdly benevolent... is he just so famous now we don't even need to explain who he is?
He's been on here before. I don't know.
He's been on your thing.
He's another comic.
Yeah, but his pain is a little more evident. Like, I don't see his vitriol as, like, you know, specific to me.
He's just angry.
You have a jovial joy to you, yeah. But you just pick your victims.
What did I do to you?
Well, you...
All right, I'm sorry if I did.
You actually... No, don't be sorry. You guys bullying me is what made me so fucking strong and successful, so it really backfired.
How did I bully you?
Well, you guys all, I mean...
All the story you mean.
Here's what I think... like, it's interesting, because I hadn't been at the store for, like, a couple years, I feel like. When I was, like, you know, working, I wasn't going up as much, and I felt like when I left the store, and when would that have been? 2000...
2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, so 2010, or whatever it was, around that time when I was working there a lot. Like... 2000, I'm so bad with dates, I'm so dyslexic. Like 2007 to 2010, when we were all there all the time, it felt like there was like a lot of negativity and a lot of like bad energy. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, when the shows were out, I came back and it felt like everyone was like reborn or something.
Oh.
It was a more positive vibe.
Yeah, there was a lot of like,
well, I think a lot of comics, started getting success too.
Yeah,
and maybe
so
that helped.
Cared.
And then I also think...
That's like Tony. When we were door guys, it was always like, why is that person not me?
Yeah.
But I was past being a door guy
by
the time
like,
you came.
And I'm not saying that I'm caused any of this. I feel like I was... You know when penguins push one penguin off...
A cliff?
A cliff to see if there are sharks in the water?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know? So when there's a big group of penguins, like in the Arctic or wherever they live, they are on like a big ice... what do you call it? Glacier, like an ice cliff, and they all, when they decide whether they all want to jump in or not, they need to know if there are sharks and killer whales, so they'll push one off, and if that one gets
sacrifice
eaten,
it.
Yes, like the martyr, so they push one off, and if it lives, they all jump in, but if it doesn't,
the sharks are waiting.
So I felt like I was the first penguin who like did a show, and then, you know, got mauled by the sharks, of course, I feel like then everyone started getting shows and doing well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was gone when you got there. When you got there, it was like the year I took off from that place.
When I got...
To the store.
That's not true. You were there when I was there. You hid my backpack.
Oh, yeah, but that's after I came back.
From where?
Wait, you think that was me?
Why are you talking like you were in the war?
I was just like left for like a year after that Mencia Rogan stuff happened.
Oh, that's right.
I felt grossed out by it. But then that's when you got in there.
But like, I don't understand that there's just so much drama all the time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think I was just like, get in and get out.
Yeah, but, you're always like that.
Well, because the energy, it was so thick with toxic energy that I had like a physical allergy to it. And I was also just trying to be a comedian. I wasn't trying to be friends with anybody because there's no point in trying to be friends with that clique of people at the Comedy Store.
It's at least just, you're not making it a woman thing. I've heard it talked about like it's all women. That's we're just mean to women. I'm like, I think it's
clicky. No. It's just people in general. No, women have it easier. Yeah. Women, you guys at least try to flirt with us and like try to fuck us. Yeah. I think it's easier to be a female comic.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, it's interesting. I think in general, and I'm noticing it in New York too, there's just, I feel like a more a positive wave through comics. I don't know if it's because I also noticed since Patrice and Greg Giraldo died.
Yeah.
I think comics now are like all like getting healthy and everyone's like vegan now.
I did a benefit for somebody in DC like after I was just there for some fat guy that had a heart attack with no insurance.
A comic
and then like half the people were making jokes like, oh, I'll be the next one you'll do a benefit for. And then I was like, we're all really unhealthy and none of us have health insurance.
This is not ideal.
We should
probably get our shit together here. Like everyone looks good. Like Attell's and
he quit drinking.
Norton looks great.
Lost like 800 pounds.
And Con Quinn. Everyone's like,
really?
Neil Brennan eats chia seeds.
He's always been like that though, right?
Maybe.
He looks like a skeleton. Mm-hmm. He looks like someone who died 20 years ago.
He's also, hey, careful. me too. I just think that there's sort of like a new way. I think that the association of you have to be miserable and a drug addict in order to be funny, I think that that like stereotype is kind of going away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like all of our heroes, Richard Pryor and Carlin, like they were all crackheads and drug addicts. And now we all like drink Jamba Juice and are cleansing.
It's like a bit of a revolution, not a revolution, but a reinsurgence, not reinsurgence.
Well, it's like, it's enough with the dying. It's enough. You know what I'm saying? It's just enough with the great ones dying.
Yeah. How was I mean to you? What did I do to you? I feel bad.
Good.
What did I do to you?
No, here's the thing. It's like all that negativity prepared me for being on a network TV show. Like if I actually am really grateful for it, because if you guys weren't mean to me, I would have had no ability to handle the negativity that came at me when I got it.
Like, were they insulting you and stuff?
No. Well, let me see.
Just standoffish.
You guys are just, it's like pulling pigtails in high school. It's that kind of shit. You know what I mean? But it's also, I also came to realize like, that's also, not that you guys were doing this, that's also kind of how we show love to each other.
Oh, yeah. Like it's when how I hit your backpack.
Yeah.
I was just
here's what you did.
Us.
That was
Wendy's
like,
one of us. I'll include her in pranks.
That's when you decided you liked me. As a person respected me. You're like, all right, now, basically what had happened is I had no money. And I had no money.
Oh.
But I had just made, I had done like TBS was doing these like commercials where comics, like we had to make jokes about products.
Brawny or something.
It was ridiculous. It was like we filmed at the Comedy Store. It was like like 5 minutes on pizza and just mentioned Pizza Hut like twice. And we're going to pretend like it's you doing your stand up or whatever. So I had made like a check for like $5,000. And it was like the most money I think I had made in my life. And I had a credit card and I had just had, they called me. I tried to buy something at like Pink Dot or something, which was where I did all my grocery shopping.
Yeah, and me too. Because you used to live right there, right?
By the way, it's a fortune. It's more expensive than Whole Foods.
Yeah, somebody said it's a poor man's 7-Eleven. It's like, not a poor man.
I can't afford to shop at Pink Dot now. It's a fortune because I remember I used to always go down there and I would get like canned peas and stuff and it was like $8. Because people usually go there when they're like stoned.
And it's like delivery stuff.
Delivery. Groceries. And it's like, and they know they got you because you're stoned. Stoned or like desperate at like 2 a.m. So I went and then my credit card was rejected. It was like the first time that I was like, I'm going to get 2 Gatorades because I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, $5,000.
And I called the thing and they were like, oh, we put a block on your card, you know, or you're overdrawn. because you, and then they said that like $300 had been taken out. Someone took my, basically my card, like basically the numbers on my card from Bank of America. There was, they put, had put cameras in the ATM machines.
Yeah, they got me
whatever.
That way once.
And then they were like, or someone took your card, went around and took money out from all these ATM machines and then put it back. And so in my head, I'm like, where would I, do I ever leave my bag long enough to where someone takes my card and could do that?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, sometimes the Comedy Store, I leave my purse. So it was literally that night. Yeah. Okay, I'm freaking out. I'm arguing these charges, trying to convince them to give me the only money I've ever made back, you fucking dick. And then I put my bag down, and I'm like, no, no, it can't be a comic. Because then they're like, is there anyone in your life who you see every day who knows where your bag is, who'd be able to take it and then put your car back in, like, surreptitiously? And I was like, no. So I put my, I had a corduroy at the time. Oh, I always wear a backpack, a little corduroy, like JanSport backpack. And
it was a nice backpack. It was cute.
It was super cute. That was like my hook. Yeah. That was my thing. I feel like that was like my, you know. It's like,
jokes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Thune has his guitar. I had my backpack. Mm-hmm. And so I went on stage. I put it up like right in that little hallway behind where Mitzi sits when she cut, like that little thing where the waitresses put the
where
things.
Where the rats die sometimes.
Where the rats.
Where
the rat, you mean where the comics die.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I went on stage for like 15 minutes. I came off and my backpack is gone. And I lost my fucking mind. I was crying. I was like going crazy. Remember, I went to Tommy. I was like, turn the lights on. We have to turn the lights on right now.
Lock down the building.
Literally, I was
no
like,
one leaves.
But I'm also like crying hysterically because it was just like it triggered such a. Like I've never trusted anyone in my life, and it's like this just affirmed everything I always believed, that you can't trust anyone and everyone will hurt you. And the Comedy Store was like my safe place. That was like when you're a Comedy Store comic, that's the only place you feel safe.
Completely safe.
And then my bag is gone. I don't have my driver's license. I don't have anything. And I'm like, it's completely stolen. And where did you put it?
I just put it in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, won't this be fun? I'll just take her thing and put it in another place. And she'll be like, where is this? And then I'm like, haha, we have it here. And I'll be like, a good joke. And then you start crying. I can't tell you now. I'm like, eventually someone will tell her, oh, I think I see it in the kitchen.
Why would you just like say, hey, it's right here?
You're crying already. And I'm a complete asshole.
There's something. Well, you would have been less of an asshole if you had given it to me and stuff. Here's the thing. I think guys, when guys see a woman crying, they just shut down. All systems go down.
Yeah.
It's like you guys cannot handle it when women cry. Like, it's there's some kind
that's
of like.
That's why it's your last ditch effort to get your way.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted my driver's license.
No, not in this case. Not
license.
In this case, but.
Yeah, no, but you know that women have evolved to cry four times easier than men because you guys are so bad at reading faces and reading emotional distress.
So that's the only way we can tell?
It's literally a cue. Like, we evolved to go like, hey, we're in trouble, we're in distress, because you guys are so bad at discerning.
That's like girls in acting class can like just turn on waterworks so fast.
Well, yeah, because
they're used to it.
Parents hate them. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's absolutely. They're also actresses. Yeah.
Because they have no future. I think that's more why.
Yeah.
But that's mean.
Yeah, you came out. I was sitting on the back steps waiting. I mean, we take each other's phones and we write like text messages to like ex-girlfriends and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's funny. That's
it's supposed to be. You would have lost it for 10 minutes.
To make me go to the DMV, I mean.
No, you didn't do that.
No, but we found it eventually. But for my driver's license to be missing, to make someone go to the DMV, that is just malicious.
I wouldn't have let you leave without it, or I would have said, hey.
But it was also the same day that I, like, you know, had all of a sudden had made all this, like, $5,000 and was like, oh, I can actually breathe oxygen and pay my bills and I'm not like drowning, and then it was gone. It was like, you know,
I think I was sitting with somebody in the back steps of the belly room, and then when you came out crying, I was like, no. And then they left, and I was like, here's the deal, I took it in the kitchen.
I obviously took it. I know this. I probably just shouldn't even have to tell you this.
And my whoever was there was like, just wait, if it's in the kitchen, someone will tell her in a second.
This is why, I mean, unbelievable. It's like five comics trying to fucking solve a problem is the word. Just let her keep crying. She'll eventually find it? No. Terrible advice. I would never think to go in the kitchen, because there's also it's actually kind of interesting, like, and the Comedy Store is so interesting for so many reasons, but
there's a kitchen crew.
I wasn't like in the kitchen crew yet.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't at the point yet where I felt comfortable just walking into the kitchen. Like, I was still like,
you always carry yourself so comfortable. I always figured you
I
were,
do?
Like, yeah, just like okay with everybody at all times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I definitely feel always feel very safe around comics.
Yeah, you didn't. A lot of people go in there and like they look around and they're not even new comics.
Yeah,
just like new to there, and they yeah. kind of you can just tell they're out of place.
Yeah, there's,
you didn't have that.
What do you think is the criteria for a Comedy Store comic?
I mean, it's changing, I guess, but
yeah.
mostly it's Simone calls it the island of misfit toys.
Yeah,
it's just like I don't yeah. know, I have no place to belong.
Yeah, there's something here. I don't know. I think that's just when you like, I feel the safest and the most comfortable there yeah. than I do anywhere.
You can let out secrets, and the worst that'll happen is yeah. you'll get made fun of for a day.
Yeah, because I think that there's like a
we're all in this together. So,
yeah, there's that, but it's like yeah, it's like SEAL training or something, you know. But it's also I think it's the ones that want it the most or yeah. something. And there's a certain comfort also in like, if you're here, like yeah. you're probably going to eat shit tonight and you're still yeah. here.
I think a lot of it too is 'cause like at the Comedy Cellar, there's no like, there's no way for people to go from starting to in there. But at the Comedy Store, you can become an employee.
Got it. There's like, oh, interesting.
So it's like your home before you're even good enough to be there.
Oh, that's interesting. You're kind of like the every echelon like mingles
yeah, they're,
with
they're around
each other.
So
yes.
I'd be around when I was a year in, around like someone like Joe Rogan, who's
yes.
15 years in.
Yes. Yeah, you have, there's like, it's so interesting because like people do think of the Comedy Store as the most toxic or the hardest to get into or whatever, but it's also weirdly the most nurturing, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, and it's also, there's something about like, if I eat shit every night for a month, I'm still going to get spots.
Oh, right.
Like, once they believe in you.
Once they know you.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Mitzi was there all the time, too, I think if she saw you enough, then she was like, you could bomb with impunity in front of her. She's
yeah.
like, no, I know you're funny. You're just trying something new. It's not working.
Yeah. Like, are you sure? yeah. But yeah, totally. Like, there's a level of, like, freedom there. Like, you know, that, and also I feel more comfortable there too because I feel like there's not like a bunch of industry there all the time.
Yeah,
I don't like when I go to the improv. That's when I feel uncomfortable because
you have to try.
You have to try. I don't think it's you have to try because I feel
Tuesdays
like
and Wednesdays at the store. There's not
I
even
try,
there.
But that's
nobody's
where I try
there.
The hardest at the store when I go to the improv or you know not so much the Laugh Factory, but I feel like. I don't know. I just feel like a sense of I don't get to try to get better tonight. I have to like show off.
Give the show.
I have to do my A shit, even if I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, and you don't have the opportunity to be like, you know what? I want to work on pauses today. So I'm just going to try to pause extra long on every single line. Not that I've ever really done that, but like,
yeah,
but
that's a good idea, though. That's
that.
A really interesting idea.
Just to work on it.
Just to I was thinking about that recently. That's so interesting about like this when. The silence when you're on stage, what you're doing when you're not talking.
Uh-huh.
Louis does, I think his last special, I think he was doing that a lot. Like what goes on in his head when he's not talking seems like it's just like, you know.
Running through 1,000
Well, it's also Sebastian is a perfect example of like, sometimes he gets bigger laughs when he's not talking than when he is.
He notes it and he just sort of gives that disgusted look.
Well, and it also gives you the chance to project your own experiences onto
what do you mean?
What he's doing. So if he says,
oh, as an audience member.
Anybody got the Blu-ray? And then everyone gets to go, oh, I got a fucking Blu-ray. Like, everyone's got their own experience with Blu-ray, and it's funny to everyone for a different reason, you know?
Yeah.
And then he, you know, makes it funny.
Bottomings?
Who?
You do that?
What's that?
Sebastian. Some people go to Froyo, and they get bottomings.
You realize that Sebastian's like my favorite comedian, right?
When I get high, like, I can sit in the back and watch him and just die.
When I bought tickets
to go see him
at the Improv. I bought tickets to watch him do an hour.
When?
3 weeks ago?
Really?
Yes.
Whoa, you paid for comedy?
I paid to, and by the way, I now have a whole new respect for comedy patrons because it was a horrible experience.
Move.
It's like sitting in a booth. It was like we were like ordering drinks. It was like I went with the guy I'm dating in my sit. We were on like a double date and I invited a bunch of friends and we all got, it was an awful experience. It makes me feel so much better about.
Not
like
having to do it.
Yeah, like yeah. I have so much more respect for people that
why
comes.
Was it a bad experience? They just didn't get your.
Well, no, it's just like they're always like you can't, you know, they're dropping the bill and you're paying the bill and you can't see and you're trying to watch the comedy it's just like, you know, I mean, as a comic that sucks too, like when you're sort of in your home stretch and you're like getting to your really good shit, you have momentum, and then the people start like signing the check and adding up tip and the
just
you know
talking.
When the checks start getting dropped, you know, 45 minutes in or whatever.
I've been on stage there before at the store.
Yeah,
I think Danita
But she's like doing her, like asking for orders. And I try to raise my voice so that I don't have to hear because it's so loud when there's nine people in there.
Yeah.
And then she'll raise her voice to be heard. And then eventually I go, I'm talking louder than you. I'm trying to be heard when you're talking.
It's like, I have a microphone. Yeah. Like, when did that make me the quietest person in the room? Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know what else I have to do. But that's, I mean, that's how you get, you know.
Wait, was that the only way you thought I was mean to you? The book back? Because I can take that. I'll take that with.
No. Well, I think, I don't know. Maybe I've also come to terms with my part of like, I think that was maybe my self-victimization or my story or something, you know?
Because, oh, yeah. I saw you one time. Tell me what you think of this.
Maybe I'm sensitive.
One time after you, maybe in between the first and second year of that show of Whitney.
What show? Oh, okay.
And you hadn't come by the store in a long time.
Uh-huh. I remember working, this. I think I remember this night. Yeah, I was like having a panic attack.
No, I don't know. Oh. You were just talking to someone in the back.
I just assume I was having a panic attack. Yeah, I think it's safe to say.
Was that super stressful, work on that job?
Yeah, it was very stressful.
With your name on it, right?
It was very hard. It was a lot of pressure. Yeah. Fuck. It was incredibly hard. I mean, it's like, and I'm, you know, Jerry Seinfeld was talking about this on Howard the other day, and Louis, I think, was talking about it on Howard too, so I don't want to sound like too unoriginal, but it is like, comedy's not a, when it's being written, it's not a democracy. It's just, it's to collaborate with 12 people in a room and try to make something good.
Yeah.
And you have 3 days to write it and 5 hours to shoot it. It's just, you can't, it's just not like, I think as a comic, you're used to, you do everything yourself. There's like a purity of the way it's created. And
yeah, this joke will get better when it gets better.
And there's no timetable on it. It's like,
could be 3 years, could be 6 months.
I worked on my special for 3 years. Yeah. And still, I was like, I feel like I could have worked. You can never work on it too long, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I call it like pencils down comedy. It's like, you just sort of like, oh, good, the buzzer goes off. And they're like, well, you got to shoot. And it's like, but we're not done. It's not finished. It's not, you know? And there's a lot of inherent flaws in television that just is why, I get why television's not good.
Yeah, I saw Carol Burnett. Speak with who's Dorf?
Steven Dorf?
No, the guy who played Dorf. Dorf on Golf.
I don't know.
He would sit. It was pretty awesome.
Contrary to popular belief, I don't lie about my age.
Oh,
I'm actually only 30.
Oh, we looked hard.
Wait, I think that was probably big thing you guys were mean about.
Yeah.
You guys all thought I was lying about my age.
They're like, no way. Yeah. How is it possible?
Who else? Yeah, someone.
U.S. search used to be the best way to find ages.
Really?
But we do that for everybody.
Yeah.
But then with you, they're like,
no way. But here's
the
thing about you, which I like. I think that it's like, and I get it. I think you guys are just protective of the space. I mean, I think it's like, you know, I believe that there's enough room for everybody and whatever. But I think that it's like, there's, after you've been trying to come up at the store for so long and had like work, like when new people come in and start getting spots, it's just like, you know,
yeah,
you guys
like,
are protective.
You're infringing on us too. Like, oh, you're one of us who gets a spot now.
Yeah, but yeah, like, totally. But it's also like this is precious stage time. And if you're not serious about this, don't waste it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's kind of, I feel like that a little bit sometimes, you know.
That's how I felt about Kramer. We all thought it was cool for like 2 weeks.
But it's also like, okay, now seriously, dude, like you're just fucking around and like trying to stay relevant or whatever, or like,
be
you know,
good or stop it.
Yeah.
Or try.
Yeah. Like, so just, this is precious stage time and just like use it, because the rest of us are really like trying to, you know, make something. So I get the idea of being protective of that stage time and that environment. And so many people, yeah, like are just doing stand up to try to get on TV or to whatever. I mean, that's always makes. And by the way, just to go back to the TV thing for a second, it's really hard because I also emotionally, like my character defects, like it was very hard to be under that amount of pressure and to have that much, you know, all of a sudden you have people, you know, you're collaborating with people. You have to have a lot of confrontations with people. You have to speak up for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to be able to say no.
And act at the same time.
Acting's not even, no, that doesn't even come into the equation. There's no time to even act. Like, that's not even a thing. Like, you literally, the script, you don't have, the script is done 10 minutes before you shoot it. Acting implies there's some kind of preparation, and you know you're lying. I mean, you're just cold reading it. You're just
really?
Like, and what? While all the time when I was, quote, acting, I was always thinking about if a joke didn't do well, I'm like, okay, we have to rewrite that. I was also rewriting it in my head while I was acting and worrying about 15 other things, you know? So, but yeah, it was really, I was really not prepared emotionally for that amount of like socialization and, having that kind of I don't think power is the word, but you know, it's tricky. I think emotion, it triggered a lot of old shit for me.
What do you mean?
You know, like because what? It's like, it was, I think that you become a, you know, as an artist, like being a comedian is great because it's like, I feel like I spent my whole life trying to have some kind of control.
Yeah.
You know, that's like growing up, I had that. That's how I'm, you know, I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. So it's like my addiction.
You're what?
An adult child of an alcoholic. So my, yeah. I grew up around alcoholism. So I'm
that's
an
why you don't touch stuff.
What's that?
That's why you don't really touch stuff.
You know, I don't not. I just, it's like, I think is, and I think this is another thing that I think people thought I was like a geek, you know, coming up as a comic because I didn't drink or whatever. I just am, you know, I saw alcoholism, you know, destroy people and it really caused me a lot of pain as a kid. So I did kind of have, I was abstemious for that reason, but also because I just didn't drink when I was working because I truly wanted to like I was in LA, yeah. You drive from spot to spot.
Oh, right.
And I couldn't afford a DUI, honestly. Yeah. And yeah. I also just really want to be able to be, you know, good at stand up. So I was just like, I can't drink and do stand up. I'm just not one of the comics who could do that. So I just took it, you know, kind of seriously. So, but I was taking sleepy pills, you know, if that makes me cooler. I don't know if that helps.
Nice.
I was secret. I was doing, see, I teach him a surreptitious. I'm a real addict. I'm not a fake addict. I do it alone without telling anyone. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Like I'm legit. But
that's what Joey Diaz always said about his coke. He goes, I never did it at the store. You like get it on the way home.
Yeah. You do it alone. Yeah. Do it. If you do it in public, that's not a real, you know, disease.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that doesn't count.
Aren't most alcoholics, don't they go out and like drink in public? Isn't that part of it? Or,
I mean, I don't think that they discern between public, private, you know, I think it's
who's the alcoholic? Your dad?
Mom. Oh. Mom. And my sister, and then I did my step four inventory of my 12 steps, and you basically do your family history. Yeah, you do your family history, and I realized that basically everyone in my life was an addict.
Whoa.
Growing up, and I just had so much denial about it. And but my as an Al-Anon, you know, it's like they say alcoholics pick up a drink, and Al-Anons pick up control. Like that's our addiction is control, trying to control
the families,
control people, trying to control people's thoughts, trying to control your environment, trying to just sort of control everything and being, you know, so that was a really hard thing because when you are doing a TV show, you have no control over anything.
Yeah. I remember saying one of Louis, pilot scripts once, like a CBS script.
Yeah.
And it was so like fractured and you could tell they're trying to put a joke of his in here or there. And you could just tell it was like, there's nine hands in this.
It's hard. I mean, it's just hard. It's not that, you know, I also think the show was a success. We did, I think 40 episodes. Years, right? That's a success. Yeah. Like, you know, like I'm really proud of a lot of the episodes. Like I look at them and I always think like everything could be better and we could have beat that joke. And we, at the time we knew that, you know, which was so annoying about when critics had negative shit to say about the show. It's like, hey, I know. Like, I know what could have been. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're sitting around going, oh, if we just had more time.
Yeah, why don't they give you more time then?
Because it's money. Oh. It's like, and it's also kind of like the sitcom schedule. It's like, I kind of tried to like revolutionize the system a little bit because I think people just sort of like blindly, you know, repeat things that aren't necessarily working without questioning them. So it's like the sitcom schedule, you know, you do a table read and then you do a producer's run through and then you do a network run through and then you do pre-shoots.
Every episode.
But you think that that's a good thing, but it's actually like after the table. So I said, you know what, this doesn't make any sense. And the pre-shoots were Monday, which means you do your last rewrite on a Friday night when all the writers are their most tired.
They can't think of anything.
And we're burnt out. Everyone wants to go home to their families. It's Friday night. Everyone's just got, you know, like senioritis. And then we write the most important draft on a Friday and then we start shooting Monday without seeing it on its feet. So it's like, I was like, this system is just not working. So I changed the run throughs to, I'm sorry, I changed the table reads to Thursday. And then I said, let's have a network run through the next day instead of a producer run through. Cause I want to get the network notes early. I want to get them right away.
Cause they're the head cheese.
They're the head cheese. And like, they're going to like, I don't want to spend a day writing something and committing to something and spending if they're going to want to change something major. So then let's switch it. So let's get their notes earlier rather than later. And then get network notes second and then do the producer run through, which will be hopefully just polishing jokes and, you know, doing it again. And then pre-shoots on a Tuesday, when everyone's fresh on a Tuesday. They've had the weekend to sleep.
Better.
Yeah, you know. So I tried.
Did they fight you on that, or did they like, no. Do that?
I got it. I mean, we did do that, and it I think you know dramatically.
I wonder with
improved.
Them, Hollywood or whoever.
Yeah.
How much of it is just people just like okay, I'll do it that way, or you know, instead of just like. They'd be open to change if people suggested, like, I'd rather do it this way.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, okay, we can do that.
I think it depends. I mean, I think it's like, here's the thing about it. Like, everyone wants to make good shows. I mean, network executives, like, as much as people give them shit, no network executive sitting around being like, you know what, I'm going to make a shitty show.
Right.
Everyone wants to make a good show. Yeah. It's just that, it's like people that dress badly. They're not trying to
dress badly. Yeah,
they left being like, nailed it. Like, they think they're killing it.
Yeah.
You know,
they wore a free Budweiser shirt.
It's just totally, it's just that there's so many contaminants and like, you know, network executives, it's like, are... You know, it's like when I think artists should, for the most part, make art. I think executives should probably, for the most part, deal with commercial times. And
well, is there a difference between their notes when because if I look over a script for somebody, or a short story or anything, I'll write notes like this was completely unclear. I couldn't tell which character was.
That's helpful,
right? Or I'll be like, seems like there should be something in here.
Yeah,
but they're not like you must. Certain ones, I'm not like, you must do this.
Fresh eyes is really helpful. So actually, I had executives, this guy Vernon and this girl Lauren, and you know Bob Greenblatt, the head of the network, when he could be there. They always had great notes.
Yeah.
Like I actually,
Vernon Chapman?
I was sorry,
Vernon Chapman,
Vernon Sanders.
Oh, okay.
So was actually I was in a situation where network executives were giving good notes, and it was still hard to make the show good because there's just not enough time.
But were there notes that you could be like, I see what you're saying, but nah.
There were times.
Or do you feel obligated because they're the money?
No, in the first season, I felt obligated to take all their notes, but also we were trying to, the first season of any show, you're trying to figure out what the show is.
Yeah.
I don't think the first season of any show should even be aired.
Yeah, early Seinfeld, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, well, no, with Sex and the City's for everything changed, not that that was bad, but
Friends,
everything.
They learn the characters.
You're
the
figuring out the characters. You're figuring out what chemistry works. You're figuring out, you know, what sets work. You're figuring out, like, I mean, I was figuring out the microphones and the live studio audience because the laughs were so loud. Like, you're just, it's like. I always say like the pilot should never be aired first because it's the worst one, you know, it's like it's and then you get your sea legs and you kind of like work it out. So but it was, you know, I cannot complain about the experience.
Yeah.
Let's go back to you being a dick.
OK, yeah, let's.
No, I think that also it was me a lot of that time. I mean, I had a lot of pain. I was in a lot of, you know, like I was lost at the time. I was
really?
Kind of, yeah, I was like unconscious.
We didn't really know
so
you
maybe
well.
I was like thought I think that I tend to, and this is a big Al-Anon thing or an ACA thing, is that you perceive danger where there is none, you know. So
what's
it's
ACA?
Like ACA, adult child alcoholic. So it's like, if left to my own devices, if you just, and you like your personality actually just makes, if people are like, oh, he's a dick, it's like, no, it's same thing like BJ Novak. It's like, no, they're not dicks. It's just everyone else is really fake.
BJ's just quiet.
BJ's just quiet. But what he does,
people
is
just put stuff on him.
He leaves you with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
So he's like, you guys are like a Rorschach test. It's like looking at you, just being like, hey, it's like, oh, he hates me. Da-da-da. It's like, no, I hate myself. Yeah. And I'm using this as an opportunity. You know, it's like, what is it? Choose your own event or, like, basically, we fill in the blanks of what
Mad Libs.
We assume. Chelsea's like that too. Like, I think everyone.
Miller.
Yeah, people meet Chelsea.
Yeah, everyone's like, Chelsea's a dick. She's a bitch. I'm like, what? I've only...
Best person I know.
She's always been cool to me. I don't know.
But it depends on what she makes you realize in you, and I think in BJ, what you think of yourself. All your insecurities start coming up.
And oh, right. When you say, like, well, what do they say?
It makes you realize
nothing
the...
specific.
Yeah, totally. It makes you realize the amount of, like, you know, accolades or fake niceness you need, you know?
I always thought you really had your shit together.
Me?
You were just driven to, like... come do your spot. After a while, I was like, I gotta go back to writing.
Yeah, and I definitely did, you know, for the most part, but I also did, like anyone in their 20s, had a lot of, I think, just like denial and stuff, that personal stuff I had to work on that maybe just didn't have anything to do with stand up, but in my personal life, you know?
Yeah. You always just worked really hard.
Well, everyone says that, and...
But no?
No, I did. No, I absolutely did. Because, number one, what else are people doing?
Not working.
Why not?
Because they're just lazy and they get by on it.
I don't think you get points for working hard. I think that's just the deal.
That should be a given. Yeah.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, you work so hard. It's like, well, what else am I going to fucking do all day?
Well, I talked to a lot of comics and I'm like, you know, it's hard to write. We try to write. I'm like, how often do you write? Because I write, if I write 10 minutes a week, that's a huge week for me.
10 minutes like of material or
no, sit down and write for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's incorrigible.
That's horrible.
Horrible.
You can't even do an hour a day. Nobody does an hour a day. I mean, maybe 1%. You're on the 1%.
But the people that do that,
we all should.
Magically
has 8 hour a day jobs.
Yeah, I don't know any comic who's like successful who's like, you know, I never get around to writing. You know, they're always like, I work every... It's just... That's a great thing about comedy. And as someone who loves control and sort of a sense of merit, is that, like, the harder you work, the better you get.
Yeah.
It's just... That's not the case in acting. That's not the case necessarily in writing or any other job. It's almost one of the most... It's a kind of a meritocracy.
I feel it's like you have this potential, like an empty room. Is your potential,
totally.
And then like, you can fill it up as much as so like the potential Jordan had for basketball, his empty room, you know, if he did one day of practice, he'd be better at me than a lifetime of work.
100%.
But
I also I also couldn't be alone with my thoughts all day doing nothing, like I have screaming voices that I was trying to avoid, so you know, I also needed like money.
I thought you were a rich kid too.
Everyone thinks that.
Because you had that nice apartment, and because you went to an Ivy League school, and then we heard your dad got you a publicist early on,
which is not true.
That's what we all heard.
Who you guys? I think that's probably the thing. All these like weird ass rumors that get spread. I don't know where they.
You. All we really knew.
My
was that you
dad got me a publicist.
Yeah, because you went right from college to on VH1 and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, how has she gotten success this quickly?
Yeah.
How'd you go make that jump where everybody else was just trying to like...
Getting on VH1 is a success? That's a failure.
No, I know now would be for you. But like first step, that was helpful.
No, but well, I think that everyone... I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I guess at the
getting
time...
On television.
I was doing Best Week Ever. Yeah. I think at the time that was like a thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that people forget how... especially given how hard I worked.
Yeah.
How hard I failed for so, you know what I mean? It's like Live at Gotham, they did 3 years of Live at Gotham. I'd never got Live at Gotham.
Yeah.
Not one time. 3 years in a row, I showcased. They picked 130 something comics.
Yeah.
Can you even name 30 comics?
That did it?
In general.
Yeah. They didn't pick me either.
3 years in a row.
I had my best showcase I've ever done.
For Live at Gotham.
For that show. And I was like, that was like just a beautiful set. It was great.
Never got Montreal. Never got
Montreal. I remember them being close on you 1 year. And the next year, you're like, I don't need you anymore. Like,
well, then I did the roast. And Comedy Central was like, let's give you a half hour special. And I was like, fuck you. I want an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to write an hour. Which is like okay. Egg on my shit. That was backfired.
Yeah.
But and then I wrote a pilot for them in that deal that was I still think to this day the best thing I've ever written and my favorite thing I've ever written. It was
really?
Like a single camera show. And it was about dating an alcoholic or falling in love with an alcoholic and wanting to be in his life so bad that I started pretending like I was a recovering alcoholic and like going to AA and
just to fit in with them.
Just to be, because he could only date people in the program.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a lot of alcoholics only do that. It becomes their new social circle.
Not yes and no. I mean, it depends. Some do, some don't. But this guy in particular could only date people who are in the program. And a lot of people don't date in the program at all rule. And then in going to meetings and stuff, I had to fake a relapse. And then I realized I actually was an alcoholic. I just loved it. It was so stupid. And not only did Comedy Central pass on it, they didn't even tell me they passed on it. Like, I remember seeing Jim Jeffries at somewhere and being like, oh, hey, bro, like, what happened with your pod? They were like, oh, they just called me and passed on it. I was like, oh, so they made decisions. And we called. And they were like, oh, right. We forgot to tell you we're not doing it.
That's the hardest part. Nobody wants to actually reject anyone.
I know. Yeah, I know.
So you're just waiting, hoping.
David Spade said one time, bad news travels slow.
I mean, I made a deal with Harris Whittles 1 year when we were showcasing for New Faces.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, man, let's just both agree that if one of us gets it, we'll tell the other. So that we won't have to keep wondering.
But apparently you're not allowed to tell people.
Yeah. But still, you could tell. Gerard was like, yeah, I got Montreal. I'm going.
Who is this?
Gerard, when he got it.
Carmichael. Okay. Yeah. There's this whole new crop of comics that I don't know, which I think is so weird.
Yeah. But I know someone who's going from New York, and I did this because I know they're not allowed to say, because Fahim lied to me. I was like, did you get in? I heard you had a really good showcase. He goes,
why is it secret? Oh, so they managers.
1997. Yeah. That's why.
Because of the past.
Someone might poach them. They're going to the festival in the first place.
They're all there. Dave Becky already represents all of them.
Yeah. It was supposed to be so that like NBC can't go and like see these people early.
Yeah.
But they ain't doing that.
I'm trying to answer your question about why, because I have so much like.
So you didn't get a publicist.
I have so much resentment about this perceived success I had back in the day. I think I probably just acted like I was successful.
Well, you had a nice apartment.
Yeah, I did. Which I didn't fucking pay for.
Who paid that?
My mom's. What? I don't want to sell out my mom too much. She had a stroke and she was having a hard time. So I don't want to like, you know. But her boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. She would. I mean, I would just every month I would figure something out.
Mom's like, boyfriend. Weird.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So I was Where's always just like hustling. So I would do like focus groups for money. I would go to these like focus groups and like test products and stuff.
For money?
For money. Yeah. $50 to go like.
This is after you got to LA?
Yeah. Yeah. This is when I was mid 20.
Here's the $50 that I paid people for the podcast, everybody.
Why do you? Do you pay your podcast? No, you don't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you the only person that pays?
I think I might be.
I'm not taking your $50.
No, you'll take it. It comes from advertising money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so you got successful?
I mean, you know, sort of.
Do you think that you got happier?
I got happier from pills off depression.
What are you taking?
Disipramine.
Oh, really? I haven't even heard of that one.
It's an 80s drug.
I'm on it, but I haven't heard of it.
What are you on?
Why did you take... Well, I was taking Lexapro for like a couple months, and then I stopped.
That was a hard one for me. I tried that one.
Really? Did you sweat at night? I got very sweaty at night.
Wellbutrin and Lexapro. I forget which one was which. One, I couldn't get boners. The other one, I couldn't come.
Oh.
And I didn't know that was a side effect.
Maybe it was because the girls were too fat.
Maybe. Stupid.
So stupid.
One of my favorite jokes, and I guess it was at your expense, but like we were walking, me and John Little were walking from the back.
John Little.
Yeah. And we were talking about Propecia, and he was like, I'm thinking of getting on it. You take it? I was like, yeah, I take it. And then as we were walking by, you were like, you know, that can cause... that can cause boner problems or whatever. You said it in a nicer way than that.
Yeah, I don't use the word boner, so, but yeah.
But I was like, yeah, but only like in a small group of people. Like the studies I saw was like 3%. You're like, yeah, I know, but I've had guys that, you know, suffer from it. And I go, yeah, but you have really small boobs.
Okay. So maybe. Okay, you fucking asshole. In the beginning of this interview, you're like, when was I mean to you? I was never. No, you are so emotionally dyslexic that you think that. I mean, yeah. I'm the first person to say that comics, that's how we.
That one's worse. I'll give you that one. The knapsack was like, definitely too
much. First of all, it was a backpack. It was not a knapsack. Okay. You ancient man.
Yeah.
But it was. But the fact that I didn't even remember that. So I'm sure there was a lot of those. Although I'm pretty good at but I even see abuse as love. I grew up learning that abuse is love, and I still thought you were shitty.
I didn't tell you about the satchel until like days later, right?
No, I found out like a year ago.
Oh. It wasn't a year ago.
I don't know.
It might have been like months or
no,
a year
it was
later.
Comfortably months later.
Okay.
Comfortably.
But it was like, hey, by the way.
I mean, how do you sleep at night? You're a sociopath.
Did I tell you when I was bringing you up on stage? I think that might have been how. I was like, yeah, I took her book bag once and hit it. And you were like, you motherfucker. That was you. That was you.
You know what? I feel like there was a while where I went after you.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was like, Tommy.
Tommy gets in rhythms.
Yeah, he gets in rhythms, but that made me strong. I feel like that was a really good, like, because, you know.
Yeah.
Because you were like, would do very well in, you know, with edgy material. And then I would have to like try to do well with like less edgy material than that. Right. And like, so they would, you know what I mean?
It's better that you just embrace it instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that spot or.
Oh, no, I would never. Later. I would
never.
I've
seen people do that though. Oh, I want them to be like, just get better.
That's lame.
Nobody's here to see you.
No, I think that was like a big thing in making me stronger, actually.
That's what Sanchez said.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had to follow Dice a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, for a while, he tried being extra dirty, and that didn't work. Then no. He tried being extra clean, and
just
that didn't work.
Just do you.
And he's just like, I got to be really funny.
And watching Sebastian is the key to that. Whoever he follows, he'll just like...
Doesn't care.
He'll go up for in a good 20 seconds, not say anything, and just recalibrate the whole crowd.
But then he starts right into his act.
And then he goes right in, but he like does him. But I think that's the great thing about the Comedy Store, because there's no MCs, is that you just have to...
There's also no sweet spot. Sometimes I follow Brett Ernst when he's killing or something like that. And I'm like, oh, if I go one later, one later is Sebastian.
No.
And then after that is somebody else who's
doing
it.
And then because it's a marathon comedy, the people have been here since 9, and now it's there's no two... Yeah, there's no two sets of shows, you know?
Yeah.
And but the opening spots, I mean, I think is really when I like became a comic. The opening spots and then the like 1 a.m.
I was mean to you. I'm sorry if I was.
No, don't be. It made me stronger. It made me the person I am today.
Yeah, but I have this theory.
I love when people say that.
Oh, it's so lame.
And I'm like, why do you...
Everything made you the person you are
no,
today.
No, but it's like some of people like, it made me the person I am today. I'm like, and you're happy? You're satisfied with that?
Yeah. You should be madder then.
Yeah, you should be mad. Like, if you're happy with the person you are, the people that say that are always the ones that's like,
yeah.
You're not fully cooked. Just so you know. Who said it? It made me... It's always like actresses. Like, it made me the person I am today. And I'm like, yeah, and that person is terrible.
I heard the girl from Natural Born Killers.
Juliette Lewis. Uh-huh. I love her. Don't say anything mean about her.
Well...
I love her.
She said how she had no regrets. It was some TMZ thing. She goes, what regrets do you have? She goes, I have no regrets. No regrets. And I'm like, come on. None. Not even like, should have had the oatmeal instead of the salad that one day. That's ridiculous.
I have no regrets. Do I have regrets? Do you have regrets?
Tons.
Tons?
I regret being mean to you if I
was. Why? You shouldn't be.
Well, my theory is that just because you push me in front of a bus and the bus hits me and I just twist an ankle and I get a $2 million settlement.
Yeah.
So it ended up being better for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't excuse you pushing me in front of a bus.
A bus. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm getting behind the metaphor.
Intention.
Yeah, but it's also we need to accept the things we cannot change.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one for
us. Need the courage to change the things we can and then have the wisdom to know the difference. Okay? That's Al-Anon right there.
I thought Al-Anon was always a don't get in the ray of Rex. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Detach with love. Yeah.
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 Like, sorry, I wish I could help you.
But what if you are the wreck? The plot thickens. But no, you were. That's like, but it's also, here's the thing. It's like, it's not... And I have a hard time hanging out with people who aren't comics. Everyone's like, you're so mean. It's like, no, this is just how we talk to each other. Like, I think it just took me a while to understand that, like, real comics, I think there's a familial thing where it's like you can just make fun of each other. That's just kind of how we connect with each other.
Yeah, we found out Matt Edgar was worried about losing his hair. So then we were all just like looking at him, like looking at his scalp.
But that's like how you break through a fear. That's like classic, like if you're afraid of snakes, like get in a fucking bucket of snakes. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like that's like, you know, the killer in Saw. Did you ever see Saw?
Uh-huh.
Like I only saw the first one, but like he would make you confront your fears by like putting you in this horrible,
where you had to do something,
a situation. Yeah, so I don't remember what they were, but like that's kind of what you guys are doing. Yeah,
survive. That's the only way.
It's like, because I think that comics, like, I'm not going to generalize because I feel like there's a lot of that about why people become comics and what they're like and we're all fucked up, which I don't think that's true. I think everyone's got a lot of shit. We just happen to advertise our problems.
Oh yeah, maybe that's it. I like that better.
Dude, I think we are the least fucked up of people out there.
There's a few people that are like, oh, you have serious problems, but that's just
no,
few people.
We just advertise it.
Yeah.
You know, we just get on stage and talk. We are the only people we just don't keep it secret like the sociopaths that we are among. I trust comics and think so much more than anybody else because comics are the first to say, like, yeah, I fucking...
Or they'll give you their honest opinion on something,
100%. You know? Was everyone else is lying, not only to us, but to themselves, you know? Everyone else is just asleep, I think, for the most part. Where was I going with that? I think that comics, in a weird way, like, to me, I wasn't, like, parented properly. You know, I think a lot of us probably weren't. I think most people weren't. And I think when you, like, start, you know, for the Comedy Store in general, I think it was almost like a form of parenting, you know? Or reparenting.
What was?
Like coming into the store and having, you know, like the making fun of the hair or making fun of my boobs or any of that kind of stuff, you know? It's like...
Your hair.
Yeah. Or you get Matt Edgar's hair. Or, you know, my stealing my backpack. It's just kind of like a form of reparenting in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I see it as like a family.
It is that.
Yeah, for sure.
My dorm was like that a lot at Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I forgot you went to Maryland.
Yeah. But you grew up where? Georgetown?
Mm-hmm.
And then But everyone knew each other. It was a really tight dorm.
Yeah.
And so the good thing was everyone was friends, but the bad thing was, like, if you brought a girl back to your dorm, everyone knew about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. So it was yeah. Secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you something. Okay, so you're on, you got success, and then you went on an antidepressant, and you think you're happier?
The success came afterwards. I was able to commit more to comedy after that, too.
Yeah.
But honestly, before I was depressed, like, it was all on me.
Yeah.
The depression was only, like, for a few years.
What do you mean it's all on you? I mean, it's chemical.
Like, every reason I wasn't succeeding before depression came had nothing to do with depression.
And got it. Okay, got it. I thought you were saying the other way around.
Just lack of effort.
Yeah. That's comforting. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of liberating to know it's not because you're not super talented or great. It's because you just didn't try. Yeah, I think a lot of times I think there's a fear. I don't really believe in like fear of success, but I do think that there's a lot of like, if I make...
It's fear of failure.
If I make my lack of success my idea...
Then it's okay.
Then it's okay.
Yeah. I could just try and I'll be... But if you try and fail...
Yeah.
Then who are you going to blame?
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it's like, I think... But it's also interesting because as a stand-up... No matter how much you succeed, you're still always failing. It's like, because you're never done. It's like you bomb at every level of your career. Like, and you can fail at every level of your career.
Yeah.
Like, and the failure never stops.
You had a sitcom and right, it's not a fail, but at some point you're like, oh, I don't want to be canceled.
Yeah, so you get canceled. And then, you know, yeah,
but
it's like.
Some open mic, it would be like, you mean you had a sitcom? That's awesome.
You're always going to have some form of something that can be perceived as a failure, whether it's like, you know, Louis C.K. winning Emmy. But there's one person who's going to say, you know, give him a bad review, or he's going to get canceled eventually. Or, you know, like his special came out and everyone was like, his special's not that funny.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, there was a lot of backlash.
It was like, Louis?
Here.
Yeah, so there's, it never stops. It actually gets more intense.
I hate it when everyone was like, oh, it just goes to show you can't, you know, once a year is not it's too much. It's too much to put out a special a year.
Or like you can't, yeah.
But I mean, was like, wait, you mean in his fifth try at that?
You know, but it's also
he
like.
He did it for 4 years straight.
But that's what happens is the bar just gets higher and higher. So if that was his first special, everyone would say that's the most genius thing ever.
Right.
But it's because he's Louis. So it's like you're always just, the bar is just going to keep getting higher and higher.
Yeah, those early South Parks. I go back and watch the first like year or two. And you're like, oof.
Oy.
But I remember.
But it's because you've seen the later ones?
It was like, this is amazing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
They push the envelope. They keep pushing it. So now it's like, that's kind of tame compared to what people are doing now.
Yeah.
Because of us.
So it's like, just like get comfortable with failure, you know, because you're always going to be losing out to someone. So it's like, even if you're starring in a movie, like Julia Roberts loses roles to Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She gets mad about
or
that.
Whatever.
It was her Chandler was upset that it wasn't Seinfeld.
Gary Shandling?
I was always like jealous of not being Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, couldn't you just be happy that you're Gary Shandling? You've had two awesome shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God, I love that show. Larry Sanders is
Larry
so
Sanders'
good.
Shows are great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because there was like, you know, there's, I mean, we haven't quite, our generation or hasn't really, like I'm one, like I don't know who's been left behind or who's underrated or overrated or who deserved more yet, you know? But it is interesting, like, when you see, like, Don Herrera or, you know, Marc Maron or whatever, like, people, well, he's doing, you know, obviously great now, but, like, when you're like, oh, he came up with those guys, it's so weird who gets picked and why
or whatever.
Yeah,
for a while, Maron wasn't able to...
Well, yeah, didn't he? He kind of came up with, like, Seinfeld and those guys, or at least certainly Drew Carey and all those guys that were getting those huge deals.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, it was like, he just had a different...
Different path.
But it's also, like, his... comedy wasn't really conducive to a network sitcom. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that now we're in a place where like you don't have to be a squeaky clean comic to be successful.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's so many more other like
Yeah. You can just say sort of what you want now. People are like, all right, relax. Yeah.
Cable has like made it possible for people like us, you know.
To be like I don't know how to do those one liners. The clean one liners.
I will never be Brian Regan. Yeah. I just can't.
So is there any place for me then?
Yes, the internet, you know. I think. But
are you gonna do another special now? Is that what you're trying to do?
That's kind of what I'm working on. I'm not in like any rush to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what I'm working on now. It's so interesting though. It's like, 'cause now that like, you know, I feel like there's this thing where being a comedian's like not enough. Like, you have to be doing movies, you have to be doing TV. So it's like now, I mean, I'm like I wrote another show, but like now people are like, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh, I'm just touring, I'm working on a new special. And they're like, oh, well, what are you doing?
that's
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, why do people still think comedy is so fucking
easy? They shit on it so hard.
It's like unbelievable. It's like, well, it's like, and then also it's not good enough.
Yeah.
It's like doing a special. It's like, oh, well, are you going to do
those artists. They don't, like, you painted a painting, but what else?
But it's like I'm working on a new hour special. They're like, oh, well, are you going to do like a movie or write a TV show? It's like, no, I'm doing the much harder thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing that, I mean, how many, I was talking about this the other
night.
No
help. It's all on you.
Yeah.
To paint a picture with just you and a microphone.
It's like 100, 200 movies are made a year. How many hour specials are made a year?
Yeah, not
four? 10?
Yeah.
Like, this is the harder thing.
Yeah.
And everyone is just like so dismissive of it. And I remember, like, if you're a comic and you're not in movies and stuff, you're like not. Making
failure,
it. Yeah. And Geraldo said this, I remember at the last what? Roast he did, I think it was Hasselhoff, and he was going down the red carpet and I was behind him, and you know, because he would always get shit for like not being in TV shows or not being in movies and stuff. Yeah. And they were like, so how do you feel about the fact that you're always being shit on because you're not on TV and not in movies and stuff? And he just goes, when did it become so embarrassing to just be a comedian for a living?
I heard, yeah.
Like, that's my goal, to just be a working comedian.
I heard Russell Peters say that. Like, somebody said the word, like, television or something. And someone else said, what? Yeah. Like, they didn't hear what he said.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you know that thing I can't get on? That's
but
like,
it's like, but it's like,
he's selling
he's
out theaters.
Making $20 million or whatever. I don't know how much, but he's making a ton of, but it's still, he feels like he's a failure because he can't get on TV or in movies, when in reality...
It's like, why do you even, who cares?
He would be, like,
the fuck?
There's, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's,
I feel like that's a better way to go.
How many
people? If I
could
trade it out, that's what I have now. I have nothing else except stand up in this podcast, but the podcast isn't like a real thing. It's just like.
Yeah, but it's like people, you know, I remember saying this to little Esther once. Is that, do people just call her that? Is her
I think
name?
So.
Esther. She came out, this was like 2 years ago. She came out and she's like, hey, I'm trying to get an agent or a manager or something. And I was like, well, why, what for? She's like, you know, to get auditions and stuff or something. And she was, I think, passed at the store.
Yeah.
And she was like, and I was like, well, are you getting spots at the store? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, just do that.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I would say to anyone, just get good at this, you know,
yeah.
And this will pay your bills for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but you didn't wait until you were good at stand up before starting getting stuff, did you?
Well, you're basically saying I didn't. You're like, but you weren't a good stand up.
Well, he was early on. Those
but yeah,
times
no,
you're talking about, like, it was tough to follow people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really feel like that now anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, but I mean, I always feel like I'm, as a stand-up, can get better.
Oh, yeah, you can get better, but there comes a time where you're like, I'm comfortable. If Kurt Metzger's on stage and he's killing, you're not going to be like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do here? You're like, oh, I'll just go up, we'll see.
Yeah.
You're a better comic
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but hold on. But yes, always. You're always, you know, because it's also, you always have to get better because you're always growing and changing. So it's like you going on antidepressants, getting better. It's like, oh, I got to recalibrate what mm-hmm. I'm talking about a little, because it's like I also stuff that I wrote.
It made my act way more real.
Yeah, 6 months shit I wrote 6 months ago doesn't feel honest to me.
No longer
now.
Relevant. Yeah,
and I'm like, shit, goddamn it, you know. So it's like you always got to be like figuring out how to be honest. So it's like I feel like I wrote stuff like 2 years ago that I was like, oh great, I'll just pick up where I left off, and I'm like, I can't. This is all false.
Yeah, you
false.
Can't do it. Unless some story that you can like retool or something, but it's like you really can't.
No,
there was a. You ever listen to the Eels?
No, but I know they're like cool.
He, I think it's just one guy.
Yeah.
But like Nine Inch Nails. But like, they are cool. But he wrote this album after his mom died, his girlfriend had a heart attack, and there was an earthquake all in the same like 5 month period or something.
Whoops.
So he just wrote a whole album about loss. And it was a song called Hospital Food because he spent all his time in hospitals. And, it was just like he couldn't write that before.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, he couldn't write that either.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't feel this
way
anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's like there is things expire. There's expiration date on material. But Ellen, her first Tonight Show appearance, she had written this whole thing and prepared it for like all this time. And then her girlfriend died in a car accident. And then that whole calling God bit that she did.
Yeah.
I think she wrote like the day before or something crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I also, I think like.
They don't let you do that anymore.
They don't let you do that anymore. You got to go to Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club.
They you don't gotta, let you do shit anymore.
You got to write out your set.
They just don't let you. Fuck.
That's really funny.
There's no more freedom. It seems like there's no more freedom.
Yeah. Well,
I had to call Jordy and I was like, hey, I just want your opinion. Do you think I could get away with saying the word Kike Heeb?
Where is Jordy? What's
he's
Jordy?
He's at Comedy Central.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's such an incestuous community. It's just like the same people doing the same. Like
I love
just,
having him there.
It just, I mean, I haven't seen Jordan in ages, but
he's a comic, so it's like,
yeah.
Still like,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, you understand this, right?
Yeah,
you understand why I need this thing.
Yeah, I do think it's that it's good to have like comics on the inside. That's a cool idea.
Yeah. We shot a storyteller show for Comedy Central.
Uh-huh.
Still the only, that one digital thing is the only way they ever used me in anything.
Mm-hmm.
But,
You're too funny.
Room, what?
It's just, you're too funny. That's your problem.
I would never say that. I just think they didn't, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But as we were setting up the room, I was like, they were like, oh, it's not that big a deal, Ari. And I would always turn to Jordy and I was like, Jordy, is this going to hurt people's performance?
Yeah.
If we have the stage set up this way?
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't want to perform that way.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd be like, I think you're overthinking it.
Huh.
But it's nice to trust a comic to be on that side.
That's cool. That's really helpful for someone to tell you when you're overthinking something, because sometimes you can hit the bell curve of working too much on something.
Yeah.
You know, like knowing when to leave something alone.
Like, we couldn't get a Camaro, we got a Trans Am. Is that good enough? And you're like,
that's the kind of shit that, like, I was dealing with on the show, where I was like, I would just get paralyzed with indecision and like detail oriented, and everything mattered, and every, because in stand up, everything matters. A period's a period, a comma's a comma, a space, like,
a pause,
one word can totally, extra word can totally mess up the rhythm of a joke. So it's like, that was my mindset. And then going into a sitcom where there's just an infinite number of things to be doing, and me thinking that everything mattered.
That seems like way too hard, way too much work.
Well, you just have to
produce.
No, it's not a thing. It's not possible. It's not, there's no version of that. And I mean, I was dying.
What do you mean?
I was passing on. I got really sick. I was like,
did you really?
Yeah, I lost my mind. I ruined my relationship, and I got pneumonia.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah. I was living with someone. You can't, you know, when fear exists, no other emotion can exist. So I was in so much fear, and I was so like, you know, I had such brain drain. I was like running on adrenaline. It was like, and that's, I think, the biggest regret is like, I didn't have like enough fun doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't, I didn't like it. It feels like just like a blur. Like, I look
back.
You
know the way Jeff Ross comes in after he's like done like writing The Burn and stuff? He'll come in and work out and just hang out for a while.
He'll come to the store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like, oh, you're enjoying this. You're enjoying
totally. Balance.
You were gone.
There's no time. You can't even do what you're doing, much less other stuff. So when you're not writing, you're performing. When you're not performing, you're editing. When you're not editing, you're casting. When you're not casting, you're breaking stories for the future. I mean, there's just like, you're always.
Would you not do that again?
A week behind. I would do it. Maybe differently. Like, I think maybe on cable I would do it, and I think the way Louis does it, which is just like, I'll give it to you when I think it's done.
Oh, right.
Like, just, you just need more time.
Yeah.
So it's more like, I'll write it, and I don't think that you can make something good 22 episodes in a year. It's just like, there's just no way to do that creatively, I think, up to the standards that I think you would want. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you would want to pick out every word and every line. Like, this isn't good enough. Were people telling you, like, relax, not that big a deal? And you're like, why is that...
But it's also like, I mean, exactly. Like, I think that it's like, but if we can make something better, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And my name's on this.
Right.
And...
like, no one's going to know about you.
No one knows that. Yeah, if we don't beat this joke, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I'm the one that, you know, I've worked so hard for people to think I'm funny, and now, you know...
you could... If there was some... like critique or something, somebody wrote about your show, if they listed 9 good things and 1 bad thing, I know I would just be like,
focus on the bad thing. Yeah, it's like Bobby was saying one night, like when you're killing and there's one person in the front row who's just kind of like, that's the only person you can think about, you know? Like, if 1,000 people are laughing, you can only look at the notice.
Yeah, somebody else told me a different way to look at that.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck that person. Even if there's 2 people laughing, just look at them. They're the ones enjoying you.
Well, I think I also got to the point where it's like, I miss doing stand-up so much that now doing it again, I don't think about that because I'm just trying so hard to be, like, present. And it's so much fun, and it's so, like, healing to be on stage again. That sounds really, like, dorky, but that I don't really care, you know? I'm just so grateful to be on stage. I'm just so happy to be able to be just like, you know, that having that any kind of immediate gratification for my the dopamine of the addict brain.
Miss that while you were shooting?
I mean, I was so lost. I think that, like, as a stand-up, whatever you know, whatever your brain, however it's composed to need that kind of immediate gratification or whatever it is that we do every night, I think that that's the thing that satiates us. I think that that's the thing we found that medicates us, and then you take that away, and then I was just, like, lost again. And I also think that I, you know...
We stop getting it other ways. Like, this is the way we get that that thing in our bodies.
Totally. Yeah. So that's it's our meds or whatever. Yeah. And then I stopped taking my meds for 2 years. Yeah. And I was just like, and I also think I was stand up for is really good for, I think, lost people just in terms of your identity, because it makes you figure out who the fuck you are. And that's what stand up did for me. It kind of like broke me open, because I feel like I was sort of just doing an impression of who I've myself for a long time.
So Taylor says, he goes, every new comic just does an impression of comedians.
Yeah. Feel like this David
is what,
Taylor?
Huh? Like, this is what comedians should sound like?
Well, yeah. And I think that when you first start, the biggest mistake people make, comics make, is trying to make comics laugh.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's like, if I just tell a joke that I think Attell would say, yeah. Maybe the comics will think I'm funny.
Yeah.
But usually if comics think you're funny,
yeah,
that's a bad thing.
You got a lot of Sarah Silverman, right? Do people say that a lot when you started? I think I remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I think, yes. Yes.
Because you had like an abortion joke or two or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's like, you're always going to get some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sort of just sucks though. It's like, yeah, I'm 2 years in. This is not going to be me.
Yeah, it's 2 years in. Like, just let me, I'm just kind of like,
let me develop.
I got my little like kickboard and my like floaties. I'm just trying to like, you know, the first 3 years is just figuring out how to just be on stage, I feel like. Just figuring out how to just stand there and not cry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
Somebody's theory is it's a lot easier for girls to start because they're used to having everyone in the room look at you.
Oh, that's
whereas the guys are like super uncomfortable with that. You know?
Huh, that's an interesting theory.
The very, very, we're talking first 3 months or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I think that just in general, that's while performing, but I think in general, you know, people are like, oh, is it harder for women? Is it easier? I think something that makes it harder is that when you're a female comic, not harder, but in the long run, more of an injustice, is that in the you get, what was that?
I always get worried that these aren't plugged in. So I just wanted to see if my mic was working. I'm just like, oh, did we lose an hour and whatever?
I love okay, your right. paranoia. I would be thrilled. But that you get attention before you're ready when you're a girl. You know, you just get attention, agents, managers, showcases before you're ready.
Yeah.
So people see you before you're like, know who you are as a comic.
That's where it is. And then you're put up to this like, this place where everyone gets to examine you.
Yeah.
As you start, as an open micer, as a coffee shop open micer, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody looks at you at all.
Yeah. And also, as like a white guy, it's so hard to get, you know, set yourself, you know, out.
They
but
don't
so
notice until they start
as a
funny.
Girl, it's like, oh, there's a girl doing comedy. Like, give her a Montreal showcase after she's been doing comedy for 3 months. And then, you know, before you're ready, it's like, I feel like girls should be sequestered for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Just like figure out who you are, get good. And then, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Did you feel that at all with people trying to pluck you because you were a girl? You only have one experience.
What does that mean, pluck?
Well, like, I remember kids in the hall, they were like, why don't you guys have any women in your group? And like, we've had plenty of women. And every time they were in our group for more than 3 months, the network, CBC, or whoever was like, okay,
really
we want to
give
her a development deal.
Yeah.
So eventually we're like, we'll just do our parts ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I felt the opposite. I got like showcases and stuff, but I felt like I was failing pretty hard.
At the showcases?
I mean, as far as being plucked.
Oh, right.
Like, no one was begging me to be on TV shows. No one was. I mean, I was Unpunked and I.
Oh, yeah. You're Unpunked too.
Yeah, I did.
How did you start getting stuff?
But that
early
was
on?
Way in the beginning because when I was in Philadelphia, I went to school in Philadelphia. I used to, as a job to make money, there's a place called Banyan Productions, which does like, not Extreme Home Makeover. Trading Spaces, which was like a big show on TLC, and they did all these things, and I would go in and I would when they would do auditions for like you know, the hardware guy or the stylist or all these, I would play all the roles that they needed for the audition. So sometimes I would be the host, sometimes I'd be the hardware guy, so, like while they were auditioning. So then they let me audition like as a host for some like travel show or something, and I came close to getting it, or I tested for it or something. So then I got like a hosting agent out of it, and I was doing a lot of hosting. And then I got a meeting at MTV about being a VJ. And when I met with them, they were like, they're basically like, you're too funny to be a VJ.
We need more bubbly.
I was kind of, and they were like, you should try to
sardonic.
Be on, how about you be on Punked? Like, which is their way of saying, like, you seem like a sociopathic asshole. You should, and then I auditioned for Punked, and you know, that's
oh, that's how you met BJ. Did you guys do that together?
You know what? No. He did it the second season. I did it the third season. I met when I met BJ, he was already like on The Office and successful. I met BJ through Dan Levy because they were friends somehow.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I met. BJ cool. was already super successful by the time that happened.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Dan Levy, the new generation.
He had a great move. He took his Gonna Be On Punk'd. Like, it hadn't even come out yet. Yeah. He goes, let's start talking.
Yeah.
And then he got everybody, like, bidding on him.
Yeah. But you just don't know. I mean, you just don't know. It's like there's no path. There's no, like, specific path. So he was on Punk'd. He was, that may be matter, but he was at the Improv, and I think some... Greg Daniels or someone, whoever,
I think it was Embar
or some, whatever, was there, and he was you know, had hilarious stand up and great writer, and then, you know,
they're just like, let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, when you see guys after sets at the store, like, run, go to the back and smoke pot or drink, what do you think of them?
I don't have judgment about that.
You don't have any judgment about it?
No, I mean,
you don't be like, you guys should do something, get on your horse already.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I don't think that you're not on your horse necessarily if you're not smoking pot. I don't think you have to choose.
Yeah.
But, like, here's the thing. Don't shit on the people who are trying.
Right.
As a
means of, like...
Not that smoking... By the way, it's also, I think, something that's tricky about stand-up is that truly it's is it a job or is it hangout time?
Right.
And I think me treating it like a job, like I was punching in a card, getting and going home, was helpful, because I think when you have friends, you're hanging out, you're on stage, you don't want to try too hard because your friends are in the back, you had a drink, you know what I mean? It's like it gets a little bit amorphous, like what the rules are. So I would never say that going to do pot and drinking with your friends means you're an asshole at 1 a.m. Like, people are going to do that anyway.
Yeah, but you would go home and work.
I would go home and work. I would go home and work whatever. On my set. Yeah, because for me, I had to go home. I had to record my sets and go home and listen to them and do it then, because I just couldn't.
Yeah,
that's the only way I could really write. But I think that it's like, if you're going to not try as hard, just don't shit on the people who are trying. It's like high school. It's like the ones that try hard aren't cool.
Yeah, why is that? It's so much easier just to be like, oh, that person. It's like, they're working hard.
Yeah, well,
everyone
that's like,
shit on Aziz.
It's Dan Cook, and it's like, you know, all these guys. It's like... there's this thing where if someone works hard, it implies that, like, they're not funny.
They're not talented. It should just be like,
you're not just a natural savant. Yeah. It's like, no, I have to work.
I heard somebody recently say this, like, I don't want to get it. I don't want whatever it was. Like, I don't want to get it that way. Like, somebody helping them get something. And I'm like, that's how everybody gets everything. Nobody just gets anything on their own.
Since when is there pride and dignity?
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
In
you want
art.
To see you randomly in the street? And
yeah,
like,
just like someone's giving you a gift. Oh, fucking open it. You know, like, I'm big on, like, the universe giving whatever it is, whether it's a hardship or a easy thing. You just, you know, I think.
What do you mean?
There, like, if something good happens to you, take it. And if something bad happens to you, find the gift in it and get stronger. You know, it's like you. Those are your choices, you know, and I think
but it's happening.
And I'm also like doing smoking pot. It just didn't work for me. You know, it's like finding what works for you, and that's just the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over
again. You get off on working hard? You work harder than anybody I know.
Really? How do you even know that, though?
I don't, but when I see you go home, I mean, you could
people
just,
can just be going but home everyone playing video says games. That.
But here's why. When Aziz sold those three scripts or script ideas to whatever company.
Yeah.
The funny people guy.
Apatow?
Yeah. People were like, oh, he's not this, he's not ready, he's not that. I was like, do any of you have even one script?
What, yeah.
So, like, really, what are we complaining about?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
He's done something.
Totally.
You've done stuff. You I mean, whatever you did. I mean, you got on the roast. Those were good.
Yeah.
But you were, like, doing things and writing and trying to, like...
I do. Well, I'm also...
Yeah, you wrote for Carson while you were working on stand-up.
Yeah, but I also, like, what else am I going to do? Like, that's this...
Most of us fucked off. But you were working harder than any of us.
I don't like doing what? Watching TV. I guess I do like creating things. Like I like in order to, I always want to have new material that I'm working on. I don't like doing the same set every night. It makes me feel like hacky. It makes me feel cheap. So in order to get that, I have to write during the day, you know? And I like working, but I like, it's not like, I don't know why there's this like stigma against, like, I'm like almost embarrassed that I work hard. There's like
I don't know
this, there's this stigma against it. Cause I think there is a thing where it implies that you're not talented enough. So you have to work hard.
It's the same thing with rich parents.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're not paying for college yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still trying. I'm still learning. I'm reading the books.
I enjoy it. Like, you know, I also did have a thing where I was kind of incapable of having fun for a while. Like, that's something that I'm working on. Oh, my God. Do you want to know something amazing?
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe have the most. I am going to keep your $50 after this.
Okay.
And this is how we're going to end this podcast because I have to go to my exercise class at some point because I'm trying to get a butt. This.
Yeah, we'll talk to Eliza.
On the bottom, Eliza
Schlesinger.
Schlesinger, does she have a good butt?
Yeah, and she works hard at it, getting it.
What does she do?
I don't know. Talk to her. These dips or something.
Dips?
I don't know. The workouts.
Oh, man. I'm going to text her.
I even saw somebody on stage once like yell out like nice butt to her. And she, instead of like ignoring it or just going on, or she just goes, I know. I work really hard at it. I loved it.
That's really.
I loved it.
She's kind of got it going on though. She's got everything going on. Okay. So on the bottom of my shoe right now is a pasty. It's my pasty.
It's yours?
Yeah. I had two pasties.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
What do you do? Just impress your boyfriend with them?
Well, yeah. You wear them. And this is a...
That's so nice.
It's fairly thin on the bottom of my shoe.
It's heart-shaped. Like
it's a heart
in the middle.
With a little silver heart in the middle. And I guess it's been on my shoe for a couple days.
For a couple days?
I literally was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, this used to be on my nipple.
You just put them on your nips and like
yeah, come, you just put them on and yeah. I'm a big like, you know, not costume, but I'm a big like, you know.
Let's do it up.
Yeah, when you don't have huge boobs or a huge butt like Eliza, you gotta fucking bring it. So
I like that.
You gotta wrap the gift.
I'm glad you do that.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Go for it a little if you're gonna go for it.
I'm a giver.
Yeah.
You know?
Why pasties at all? Because it's something more than like naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, pasties is like, ooh. What?
I think that, yeah, I don't
What'd
know.
What'd you do? Just come in like,
very artful.
Dust and stuff?
Huh?
Just come
no,
in.
I don't, okay, whoa. That's where I draw the line of cleaning.
Like, I'll work on my act.
That is
right.
Okay,
working.
Yeah, exactly. But no, physical. Just like, I mean, I think that it's really funny because now that I've like started making money, I spend my money on rehabs for my family members.
Okay.
And lingerie. That's all I buy. That's the only thing I'm spending.
You have
money.
A good body, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying. I feel like I lost a lot of weight during the show, and it was like not cute. So
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get like.
But you were always running and stuff.
Oh yeah, from demons.
Oh, okay, nice.
Running from emotional.
Yeah, you have a nice body. You just don't have like
ghosts.
Massive curves.
Yeah, fuck you, man. That's
no, but
exactly
it's okay.
What I'm working
it's that
on
one
right
out of
now.
10.
Huh?
It's that 1 out of 10 thing. You have a really nice
Step
body.
Step what?
It's that 1 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 things. Which one do you focus on?
I thought you were
you
like
have a nice
you're
body.
A you're a
oh,
one.
No, you're not a one. No, please.
You're a one out of ten.
You're not a one.
Okay, that's some David Taylor shit right
yeah,
there.
You're a solid LA whatever.
But yeah. So I'm trying to just get more like stronger.
Yeah.
And like I really want a butt. That's my big goal.
I hope you get there.
I know. It's like I feel like a lot of girls when they get on TV they get breast implants. I think I might get butt.
Breast implants?
Once, but I mean
I don't know how those hang. I couldn't advise you one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know if they jiggle right.
Huh?
I don't know if they jiggle right.
Oh, I didn't even think about
well.
That. I did not even think about it. But I did
one
look online
jiggle.
At butt implant things.
How much?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, what
I'm rich now,
see?
Ari.
Probably.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Are you good forever now if you had to be?
No, I mean, it's interesting. Everybody thinks like, I mean, I think that was another thing weird coming to the Comedy Store or just coming back into society because I was so sequestered for so long and I was like only, like I was just working so much I never saw anyone and everyone's yeah. like, so you're like rich now. And I'm like, oh, people like know because there was something was published of the money I was making from being syndicated.
Oh.
I don't get that money for like another like 2 years.
The two broke girl stuff?
Yeah, I don't
yeah,
get that.
I remember when you
money.
Came back. That's what I was going to say. It just I didn't feel like you had time for us.
Oh.
Yeah, I just thought like she's busy doing stuff.
Yeah, but so it was
I
always like
hi.
That.
You could just say hi, and then I had to like walk.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah, I mean, there was also like nothing to like say. You know what I mean? It was just like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that there's like a. I mean, I mean, I think sometimes there's when comics get success, there's like a little resentment of like, oh, you left us behind or something, you know?
Did you get a lot of flack?
Like, how dare you? I felt like, and maybe it was all in my head,
yeah.
But I definitely felt like I wasn't a part anymore, you know? Or like I wasn't in the club anymore or something.
Once you were gone.
Yeah. I mean, but I was gone, you know?
Yeah. I know a lot of people come back and then like there's some turnover, so like a lower percentage of people,
yeah,
like were friends with you.
Yeah, but I also had so many comics on the show. You know what I mean? Like Kevin Christie was on and Dove was on. I had
oh,
Chris
yeah.
on.
I got Dove to tell me that story on my podcast.
What story of when he came to my show?
No.
Which one?
When we were driving on the cab back from Down and Dirty from the airport.
Wait, what happened?
Him in Vegas with what's her name?
April Macy?
Yeah.
When I screamed at him in front of the Comedy Store?
No, you told me about it. You're like, I'm done having you bitch to me about I can't find a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. Fuck you. I'm not going to be your ear anymore if this is the kind of shit you're going to pull.
No, I went, class it up. That's what I said. I was in the parking lot of the Comedy Store. I stepped. I was like, you all need to class it up. And Mike Young walked by and I was like, you too. You need to class it up, fedora. Like, I snapped. I was so sick of you guys being so fucking gross.
Yeah.
I was like, you all need to get your shit together. Yeah, because Duff was like running around being like, I just want a good girl. I just want a good girl. And then I hear that the Vegas story, which I'm not going to tell my version because maybe, okay, whatever.
It's pretty close to the way you told it to me.
Okay, so it's
almost exactly the same.
Okay, because I don't want to like.
Like room numbers.
I wouldn't want to make Duff sound gross.
He did it. So he was like, he said way worse stuff on there.
I know. And I was like, you need to fucking get your shit together. Like, you're comfortably in your late 40s.
Yeah.
Or like, you all need to become men at some point. Like, it was just like making me so fucking mad. I was like, you're all fucking children. Y'all need to grow up. Like, oh my God, that's right.
This is the part he told me that you.
And then the next time I apologized and I was like,
really?
Oh, well, I said something. I think the next time I saw him, I was like, hey. So I feel like some of that anger probably was about my dad.
Oh.
And it came out on you.
Did your dad fuck around?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, so it was like,
you
know, I think I'm just like, you know, I think in general, I think that shit just is weak. I have a very low tolerance for weakness. And I think that kind of shit, when people are weak, it makes me feel unsafe. And it triggers like deep shit in me.
When people are weak.
Like when you're fucking hookers and shit. Oh, yeah. It's just like, man up. Be a fucking man. It's like, I think that there's this masculinity crisis right now where men think in order to be a man, you have to fuck as many things as possible. And like, it's just sort of like, class it up.
Class it up.
Class it up.
You can still fuck a lot, but you just
fuck
class it up.
Fuck the same person 5 times a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's this, but I also think that there's a very real thing where it's like, men are hunters. You guys are designed to hunt and to chase.
We like getting.
But technology has eliminated the need for that. You don't need to hunt your food anymore.
So it's just biological, you mean?
Yeah, you go to the grocery store. Like, you don't have anything to chase anymore. Like, video games and shit, but like, you guys do.
You're saying we should all get hookers.
You should all just, I mean, I guess there's just glorification of hookers in comedy. And I just think in general, you guys are all, you know, you guys are comics because you're smarter than everybody else. Like, I think in general, I won't speak for myself, but I think comics are above average in television.
More above, socially observant, too.
So yeah, like, above average intelligence. And it's like, you guys are wasting your time chasing whores and like seeming like dirtbags when you guys are actually like the philosophers
people.
Of our generation. Like, I think you guys have a responsibility.
Dove is a lot smarter than he lets on.
Dove is?
Yeah. Than he comes off as anyway.
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand why it's, again, I don't, there's this thing of it's not cool to try hard. It's not cool to respect women. It's like, it's cool to like fuck whores and shit. It's just like, dude, like, use your time to make art. Like, stop. You guys are wasting time. You're making comics have bad reputations. There's this glorification of like filthiness that I just think is like kind of self-defeating and self-sabotage. And I'm just so sick of comics like not becoming, I'm not talking to you, Brian Callen, not being as big as having the success they want because they're wasting their time MySpacing children. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Stop fucking hookers in Vegas and go write a new 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you comics have a really important job, you know? Like Chris Rock and Bill Maher and Jon Stewart have done more for America than politicians. If I had a 10-year-old kid, I'd rather him watch Jon Stewart every night than the news. Like, we have an important...
Just, like, commit to that instead of...
We just have an... I just think comics have an important...
Booze and drugs.
Yeah, you can still do that. Just, like...
Moderate.
Balance. Like, it's fine. But it's just, like, you know...
Here's the part of that story that you didn't know that he told me later. He goes, he wasn't even having sex with the hooker. He was all coked up and couldn't get a boner. So he had a bottle of lube that he was just trying to, like, look at her on the bed as he was sitting on the chair nearby it. Trying to stroke up a boner.
Stroking his flaccid.
Uh-huh.
Why lube?
Because hopefully I could just get it going.
My question is, this is my problem. I'm too detail-oriented. Who had the lube? Where did it come from?
I think the mini bar, maybe. Or he might have gotten some from downstairs.
Oh, so this was a nice hotel.
I don't know.
Or like
Vegas if, also. Sometimes they have those.
If you need lube, you're get your shit together.
Yeah.
If you can't get someone aroused, you know what I'm saying? Look at yourself in the mirror. Look real long and hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's just this, there's just like, it's, there's a, because it's not about sex at that point. It's about power. It's about escaping your demons, self-medicating something. I think, and when I see people who I think are in pain and people that I care about and that I love, and Dove is one of those people, I just...
You can cover it up for a little bit.
I want, yeah, no.
Some hot tail.
I use work. I use control. I use whatever. I've had my share of dudes in my life that I, you know, but like it's, I just get very possessive about like mothering maybe sometimes.
Your friends.
Yeah. Like, so it's like if I see you behaving a certain way, I think I'm just more like, you're so fucking brilliant. Use that time to make art and make more stand up because that's why you're put here,
yeah.
You know? And I think I get sort of obsessed with that.
I can see that.
Yeah. Obsession with justice. I mean, that's just me being micromanaging. And, but yeah, I did have like a break, like a psychotic break that night. At the Comedy Store. I was young. I was like doing fucking like helicopter with my arms. I was like, and you need to class it up. And you need to class it up. And you need to write a new 10 minutes, Bobby, comfortably. Yeah. Like, I was just like, telling.
Hitting everybody.
I was hitting everybody.
Bobby coming, what's going on here? Write some jokes.
Okay. Stop with that fucking sewing machine shit. God damn it. You're better than that.
Like, he is better than that.
Well, Bobby's the best. And I just
he is better than that. He should write more.
There's so much fear, but it's like, but I just hate seeing brilliant guys and girls waste your time. You know, just do something great. You with great power comes great responsibility. Like, if your mind is designed to be a comic, like, you need to fucking use it. Stop wasting it.
And you're saying you can still have time for pasties once in a while.
Yeah, look at me.
Like, yeah.
I've got 3 TV shows on the air and pasties on my shoes. Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know? The irony is I fuck more than all of you guys.
You probably do.
But I mean, yeah, like, you can, you know, you don't have to choose one or the other, but I think we're all, like, extremists and probably addicts in terms of how much dopamine that we require. I mean, getting on stage, that amount of adrenaline. I think we're all probably adrenaline addicts.
Man, isn't it fun being here in New York and doing like 3 or 4? I've seen you on the lineups at like McDougal and the Cellar.
Yeah.
So you can do like 4 or 5 spots.
Yeah, so you have to go back and forth. It's heaven. I mean, it's like, you know.
That's like a lot of drugs.
I think it's also, it's true. It's a bender. And I think it's like as a stand up, it's like, you know, I was talking about this with, you know, D'Elia of like how you can never match the high of being what it's like to be on stage. And sometimes comics, it's like you just spend your day just chasing trying to figure out how to feel as good as you feel when you're on stage, you know, because in stand-up, here's the trick about stand-up is the average stand-up, you don't get to do it that much at the most. You know, if you're on the road, you can do it an hour a night or 2 hours a night if you're doing clubs.
Yeah,
but like it's the one like job or art or craft or hobby where you don't really get to do it that much. You don't get to do it all day unless you're writing.
Unless you're writing.
You have to wait till it's nighttime and the average spot is like 20 minutes. So
yeah, it's in and out and then you're done.
So what we do for a living, the thing that fills us up and makes us happy, we really only get to do for 20 minutes out of 24 hours.
Yeah. In the beginning, 7 minutes out of 24 hours.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right. 3 to 5.
Sometimes twice a week, you know, if you're lucky. You know, so it's like we really don't get to do it that much. So
that's why clubs have us like, you're doing more theaters now, right? More venues.
I'm doing small theaters and I actually am doing clubs.
Don't give up on clubs, especially if you're trying to write more
material. I did the Stress Factory this past weekend. I did Tempe Improv because I think that's where you get the work done.
Yeah.
And
good clubs. Why not do 5-6 sets there? And like,
yeah. No, because I can do. So the Stress Factory, I can do 2 hours.
You're running all your material.
I'm not doing going for 5 days. I can't do that anymore. Yeah. Like, but I don't, because I think there's this dick slinging with theaters. Everyone wants to do big theaters, and whoever does the biggest theater, it's like it's really not more money. And I think that it's hard and it's hard to get good in theaters.
Yeah, it's too like presentational.
You're exactly right. It's not like connecting with people. You can't work out new shit in a theater.
I asked Caparulo once. I was like, if money was the same, would you rather do a club or a theater? We gotta go.
Yeah.
But he was like, theater. I'm like, if the money was the same, and he was like, yeah. I'm like, I can't understand that.
I can't. I don't feel like there's an intimacy.
Yeah.
They've paid more for tickets. They can't drink.
Yeah, there's no conversation.
It's not. I mean, clubs. If you're, I'm a filthy, you know, club comic. I like being in. You know.
Yeah, it's a good level of dinge.
Yeah, Yeah, that's sort of where my heart is in clubs. So it's like, and I mean, you can make certainly more if that's what your goal is. If you can make just as much or more money and you're getting better.
I just like doing stand up. So yeah. This was the thing I was going to tell you, the clubs or whatever. It's like if they knew that we've been itching for 23 and a half hours to get on stage, if they knew that, they're like, oh, we don't have to pay them anything.
Yeah.
They'll pay us to get up on here. Like, yeah.
Well, we do. We kind of do. Yeah. You know? So it's like, I understand the challenge of as people like us, like what to do with that other 23 hours. It's like smoking pot, drinking, fucking anything that can come even close to the
waste time until it's time.
Yeah, waste time, but also how can I feel that way? You know, an orgasm is like half as good as being on stage.
You know how like after you, if you come sometimes, mm-hmm. like you're not even like all there for like a couple minutes.
Yeah,
that's how I'm off. I used to have to sit next to the piano at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, and just come down.
Yeah, because if I went to the back, and people say good set, I'd be like, mm-hmm.
You're like numb.
Yeah.
It is truly like, you know, the best. So it's like, you know, so I do get why, you know, comics, you know, during the day, it's like, what's gonna make me, you know, fill this, like satiate me?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find, you know. Hanging out with other comics
that
is
helps.
Maybe the closest thing, because you get to be funny, you know, like if you can make a comic laugh like, that's the best feeling in the world, you know, being able to make a comic who's like totally desensitized, like
a table of comics laugh.
Yeah,
like, all right, because like,
ah, making a table of comics laugh is like making a theater of 2,000 people laugh. Yeah it's like, you know.
Yeah,
so you know, I get it, but I certainly have no judgment about that. And yeah, that I can't believe that I did that. Class it up.
That's the only place you can do that too, is a store.
Class it up, coming from the girl with a pasty on her shoe.
For like days. When did you have them on your boobies?
On like, I don't know, like Monday?
Wow.
What's today? Third? Yeah. These have been in my shoes for like...
You've been out and back again. Yes. Ew, that has New York on them.
But this also means that it fell on the floor... I stepped on it. Like, I don't, when I'm done with my pasties, I don't like throw them away. They're just got thrown to the side. I mean, that is dark. That is sinister. I am sorry. I'm embarrassed. I should be ashamed of myself.
All right. Well, thanks, Whitty.
Thanks, Ari.
Hey, if you're here next time or something, let's have lunch or something one day.
Oh, God. Don't do that. Don't make it weird.
We don't have to, but.
Why? Now you're making it weird. It's because you feel guilty. Your shoes are way too big for your feet. Why don't you take this $50 and buy some fucking new shoes?
These are small shoes. I had to get them stretched out.
Oh, that's really cute.
They're too big for my feet.
Yeah, like on the back. Don't you see how they're a little big? See, this is why I should never run a sitcom, because I get obsessed with small, dumb shit. I'm like, cut! Your shoes look like they're too big for your feet. I'm afraid you're going to trip. Like, I'm now super concerned that you're going to trip and fall. All right, I'm going to go get my butt to look like Eliza Schlesinger's.
You should call her if you're friendly with her.
Yeah, I'm going to text her and see what her secret is.
Thanks.
Love you. Big fan. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you
That's the episode, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 130.
That flew by.
What did I call the episode? Episode 130. Whatever doesn't kill you. With Whitney Cummings. Thank you, Whitney. We're talking about Breaking Bad, but he's amazing, Vince Gilligan.
Yeah, the dude.
He wrote the episode of X-Files with the freak show. With the lizard face. The lizard face man.
You got it.
With scales all over himself.
And he's got the tongue thing.
Yeah. He wrote that episode.
Oh.
Yeah, he worked his way up at X-Files. Like, from, like, writer, like, assist, like, staff, like, not staff writer, from fucking the guy who helps. Junior writer.
I guess.
The guy who, like, types shit up and, like, kid, type all this up for me while we talk.
Yeah.
Like, from there to, like, one of the head writers of X-Files. And he might have even been on Homicide, but I don't think so. And then, boom, Breaking Bad was his show.
Breaking Bad is sweet.
Yeah. So you're 4 episodes behind now.
Yeah, I haven't started this season.
You must. God.
It's like I can't look on Twitter for certain nights.
No, for anything. On Sunday night at all, you got to be done.
I can't.
I mean, yeah.
It's actually nice.
Oh, I'm going to watch an episode right now or download it as soon as we're done with this. But yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Billy Wayne.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. So here's the one thing I wanted to say before I forgot. So she said we all kind of like wrote her and stuff. And I didn't really think about this till later, but I remember one time like intentionally trying to bury Whitney on stage.
Well, yeah, but that's not bad.
No, nah, it was.
Oh, you had terrible intentions?
It wasn't just like bad intentions.
It wasn't like you were just trying to fuck with her a little bit. Like,
yeah, that's bad.
But that's fun.
I guess so. But it wasn't like...
Was it just like a normal night?
No, but it wasn't like friendly.
Oh, it was kind of spiteful?
It was like everyone's like bitching about her doing so well. Like, and by doing well, I don't mean in the business. I mean like getting spots at the store like in the middle of the lineup pretty soon.
Oh.
She went from the end, and then Tommy's always like, well, she did her year at the end of the lineup. She did well. I'm like, dude, I've been gone for 7 months, and she wasn't here when I was here, and now she's in the middle. Where's the year she put in at the end of the lineup? I was like, it was a couple months, and it's fine. It's a cool benefit to get in the middle of that lineup.
Yeah.
But, man, everyone was like, fuck, so soon.
So people everybody was
angry about it a little bit.
So you, like,
it made us think of how bad we were doing.
So it worked.
What?
Moving her to the middle made you guys work harder.
Yeah. It was like Taylor or Tony Hinchcliffe, or maybe both of them were saying something, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go as hard as I can.
It was a little mob mentality.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, normally, even if I'm doing real well, let's just say I'm doing real well at the store, you got to bring up people by yourself.
Yeah.
Just like you finish. So thank you very much. Please welcome so-and-so. Some people give good introductions.
Yeah.
Some people. Leslie, worst introductions ever. She just like finished like, that's it. I'm Leslie, everybody. Who's up? Next up, Ari Shaffir. And just walks off the stage. And just like, give it up. And just like, just stay there for a second.
Why? She still does that?
She's just done. She walks. And it's like, fucking... Wait, just wait. Let me come from the back. Just a set. You don't, just don't leave the stage till someone comes up. That's 101. Whatever. She's
a volunteer firefighter, though.
Leslie,
she's gotta go.
Oh right, exactly. My pager's going off. You guys. I gotta go.
I gotta go. There's a fire in the valley.
Yeah, but I used to when I did real well, I would like do like an extra 30-40 seconds of nothingness. You know, it'll take it down a little bit and then bring the guy on.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's like, that was fun. So you guys having a good time here? It's a cool show, right? Everyone's being cool.
Just reset the
room. Coming around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say something to one guy in the corner, but like not even like funny.
Yeah. Just
like, you're all right, man.
Yeah, I like your shirt.
Yeah. I don't know, but something. But
just to reset,
and I didn't do that intentionally, I think. I don't know, but now I feel bad for it because I didn't realize she felt so like alienated there.
Did she tank after you?
Did she
just take that and just ride that wave?
Whitney's a lot better now than she was right when she got to the store.
Yeah.
She was kind of a beginner then. I think that's what everyone's problem was, too.
Oh, I said, yeah.
It was like, that's the same thing happened to Sebastian, though. When Sebastian got there, he was terrible. And she stuck him in the middle of the lineup in the main room every week. And it would be like, crush, 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 Death Valley, crush, 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 every week. And you'd be like, what the fuck is she doing? She's fucking out of her mind. She has no idea. And now it's like, oh, yeah, she saw something in him.
Yeah.
She was goddamn right.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. That was one of the best guys to watch. If you're high, I don't know who's better to watch.
He's very animated.
Yeah.
It's great.
And so stupid. Stuff he's like angry about is so dumb. He gets so mad about bumper stickers or like...
He does get mad about...
Yeah, very day-to-day things. It's so funny. So maybe with some of that maybe that's why we sort of...
Well, that's natural.
We're harder with Whitney. Like,
God damn it.
Yeah. And she also did what we didn't know how to do, which is network.
Yeah.
We didn't know how to do that stuff. It took me longer.
I
was jealous of it. I was like, how do you just talk to people? Who do you know?
It took me longer than it should have to figure that out.
Just talk to people because they're just regular people and they can help anybody. So just fucking be cool.
They would always be on this little, and it would get on my head.
Yeah.
And then one day it was just like, what the fuck? You just see enough of them and be like, oh, you're a jackass.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, you're just some schmuck.
You just
actually
have a job.
Like your job. You don't have any power. You actually do have power and are good at it. And you don't, whatever it is.
Yeah, and I like hanging out with you as a person. Yeah. You, this is business, right?
Right.
We don't have to keep doing this, right? You? This is great.
Let's maybe it's that. When did you start hearing about Whitney? Because you weren't in L.A.
Yeah, but I knew about her.
Yeah. Being on the road, being in Seattle?
Yeah.
You knew about her. You had heard about her?
Yeah. And then I think she did that. She hosted that comedy TV.
Uh-huh.
So she was on a lot of that stuff. And I was like, who is this chick?
Yeah.
No, I know how I heard about it. Punk'd.
Oh, yeah. She was on Punk'd.
Yeah, she was great.
That year that Renazisi and BJ Novak did it.
Yeah, it was a great year. All those dudes were really good.
Yeah.
Renazisi pissed some people off.
Renazisi was great.
He was amazing on that show.
Yeah.
That was the first person, the first time I went to the Comedy Store, just hanging out outside in the back, he came up to me, and I was just like, this is a dude from Punk'd.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know he did stand-up or anything. Like, I just knew him from Punk'd.
Yeah.
And I was, and like, he just came over and started talking. We were just talking about stand up, and I was just like, okay, this is like a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he was still working at Tree People during that time. He couldn't quit his day job. He just took days off to go
and
to
Punk'd. I loved him on Punk'd.
Yeah, he made like $750 an episode. Some like MTV rates that are like ridiculous. But it's like, it's good money for 3 days of work.
Yeah.
But it ain't like,
and it was probably
wow,
fun
money.
As hell to do.
Oh, yeah. He made that show, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
him and that Dax show.
Dax was great.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Dax was probably, Jarvis did a few. He was really good.
And the dude from BT Hits on the Streets.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But he wasn't nearly as good as Dax.
I couldn't believe he was on the show, because I was like, he's really famous.
No, you're just thinking of BET. People don't watch BET.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
I loved him on that.
You were just young, that's all. That's why you knew what it was.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah, I didn't understand the scale.
I remember when Renazisi got that, and Jim Payne was telling Renazisi, he's like, dude, you're famous. He's like, oh, maybe, it's cool. He's like, no, you're going to be famous. Like, you're on that. People are going to know. You're going to be famous. Like, this is, you do a few more episodes. He had done like one. He's like, you do a few more. He's like, you'll be more famous than Bobby, who was on Matt TV.
Yeah.
Bobby got real defensive. He got really like, no, I've been on Matt TV for 4 years. He was just like... It's really funny.
I've been on the show for no, he can't be. But then, it was.
Oh yeah,
Punk'd.
Whitney did well.
Yeah,
yeah,
she was great on Punk'd.
I remember that was the first job that one of my friends got, maybe the only one that I was like, that should be me.
What's that? Punk'd. Yeah.
I was like, once I knew they were auditioning people, I was like, that's my show. That's they should be hiring me.
I keep hoping they bring it back.
Yeah. Santino did it.
Yeah.
And they brought it back once.
And so did, wasn't Barry Rothbard on it too?
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be able to do it now, but back then, man, I was like, I'm your guy. I'm your guy.
Yeah.
How do I tell you that I'm your guy?
You should have just won the audition, just I'm your guy. And then no matter what they said,
I thought of crashing an audition with Natasha. Because I had done it the year before, and then she auditioned for it the next year.
Yeah.
And
what was the audition like?
It's weird. They don't put you in the field and let you fuck around. They like pretend they're all actors and like sort of they go with the actors. But I didn't even get to that stage because I just did it with...
it's like an improv game.
And they're like, all right, you're this, you're that. But it's like, but I'm playing off a guy who knows that I'm fucking with him.
Yeah.
So that's not... The line is that Dax did so beautifully was... fucking with the guy, like making you believe a fake situation, but still giving a nod to the camera to let people at home laugh at the funny things you're saying, but not give in to the guy.
Yeah.
If you can get that line without crossing over, because you cross over, you're done.
Yes.
It's fucked. But come as close to that with no matter what, do not cross over.
Yeah.
Not even once, because then you've lost the whole thing. Yeah, that's not... The person has to be...
Who else does that well?
Renazisi did it well.
Renazisi pissed people off.
Yeah, Brian Jarvis did it real well. His few. He did a few. He did one with, I think, Lindsay Lohan, where he's driving to the airport, and then he missed his kid's birth because she had to go inside. And he's like, where were you? We had to go. My kid's... And they were all like, whatever. And then he just blamed because I'm going to... Maybe they got robbed or something. She was supposed to watch the thing, and it got robbed. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
He ran inside. He was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry, I got to pull over. And then she let somebody take the limo. He goes, my daughter's being born. And she goes, well, I mean, can't you do anything? What am I going to do? Tell her to put it back in there? but she was, like, really hurt by it. But it was so funny. It was so funny.
They did some cool stuff on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
They made Justin Timberlake cry.
Oh, man. That's when people really started liking him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, you show some vulnerability and you stop that wigger act you're doing.
And you know he's admitted he was stoned.
What the fuck? Really, during that time?
Like, on that whole episode, he...
Wow.
Because they'd just been golfing. He said they were just ripped.
Whoa.
And then he rolls back in.
Nicety.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's even funnier.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
That dude.
Nobody hates Justin Timberlake.
Nobody can.
Everybody talks about it. They're like, it's just... Because it's not our type of music, so it's like, you want to like, that's that music, but music's not even that bad.
It's not.
It's like, it's like I can get into it even though it's not my genre at all.
Yeah.
I can still like, oh, this is cool.
It's well done.
Yeah.
He's a pretty decent actor.
Yeah. I'm not into hip hop, but you ever hear that song Hip Hop is Dead?
By Dead Prez?
No, Nas.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good.
Is Justin Timberlake on that?
No, but it's like, it's not my genre, but I'm super fucking into it.
You should check out Dead Prez.
He's on that?
No.
Oh.
Just, I think you would be into
it. Oh, really?
They really don't like white people.
They don't like...
Got a great...
But I'm... What?
They make some strong points.
Oh, yeah.
Some solid points.
Oh, yeah. Behavior-based?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very strong points.
Yeah. Yeah. I guarantee the TSA was not a black person's idea. All right, well, that's the episode. So everybody, don't forget to use my Amazon link, and then don't forget I'm gonna be in Wisconsin in a week. Yep, Jeff Dye, there he goes on my screen. I'm in Wisconsin to Appleton and Madison, and then Calgary and San Francisco, all coming up, and my storyteller show in LA, and I'll be at the Stand all over New York all the time.
I'll be in Montana and Washington and Alaska in September, October, and November.
Go to Billy Wayne Davis on Twitter.
Yeah.
Wayne, now is that Wayne, W-A-I-N?
No.
No?
W-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, interesting. Interesting spelling of the word.
That's the spelling of the word.
Really?
Did you spell it W-A-I-N-E?
W-A-I-N. But that's, I realize David now Wayne, that I would have spelled it wrong. W-A-G-H-I-N. It's how I meant to spell it. W-A-I-G-H-N.
G-H?
G-H-N, yeah. Wayne.
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 I may change it.
It's a Wayne. It'd be great to have your mom yell at you like that. Hey, get back in. Wayne. Get back in here.
Billy Wayne. Like, are you mad or are you trying to seduce me, Bob? Billy Wayne.
All right, you guys.
All right.
Use my Amazon link. Have a good night. Thank you all. Oh, I forgot to say, this last month, most downloads ever on a month. The last 2 months, each one beat it.
So there you go.
July was my most month downloads ever, and then August beat July.
So what will this month bring?
It's just started. I don't know. But I might have 5 podcasts this month because this one's coming out September 2nd, so there's a chance.
Well, happy Labor Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Happy Labor Day. Enjoy taking off. It's weird, a holiday, right?
I don't get it.
Work to celebrate working?
I don't get it. I think it was like one of those things where rich people were like, what about you just get like a Monday off?
Once a year. We'll go, that was like their first rebuttal.
Was that good? And they were like, fuck yeah. And they took it.
They took that for a while.
Yeah, and they were like, they just took that.
And then 20 years later, they're like, oh, no, we want...
Yeah,
tax agent without representation.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit. You got us with that one day.
I heard that's how gay people were with unions, civil unions. When they got it, they're like, all right, cool. And then after 15 years, they're like, you know what? This is still an insult.
Yeah.
Are we equal or are we just not equal?
Yeah, that's and like, they strong yeah, point, too. Yeah,
strong point. Strong yeah. points.
Like, hey, this is, yeah. Did you give me a nickel?
What
is this?
Yeah.
There you go,
it was
kid.
A cool nickel, but yeah. Now it's, I realize.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's just a fucking nickel.
I did a promo for my special Passive Aggressive, available now at the top of my website at Ari Shaffir for only $5. But and I did a promo for it, and this I was talking about how I used to be have a real tight shot of me, talking about all these things about how I used to be known as the amazing racist, but that's not me. I'm way more caring and heartfelt now. And then it pans out, and there's this little black boy shining my shoes, and I flipped him a nickel, and it hit him in the hat, you know, one of those shoe shine hats, and went up, and he goes, and ran after it. He's like four. So that's how I did
it. So it was just a shiny thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 130. Whatever doesn't kill you. With Whitney Cummings. Over and out. Tell your friends to subscribe. That's why it's so successful. Just keep sharing it with your friends.
It was good. Would disturb the slumber of feelings that I've died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. Within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never.